Sedition is defined specifically in U.S. law as a federal crime involving conspiracy to overthrow or destroy by force the government of the United States, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States. Seditious conspiracy is a specific crime that requires two or more persons conspiring to use force against the U.S. government or its laws.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
Of course, absent from the Declaration, any specifics as to what those illegal orders actually are.
And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is their intent? What is the reason that they all went on a video and encouraged young men and women to defy court orders without even giving a hint of what's illegal, without even giving any suggestion of what law or what order they're being asked to violate?
To be clear, we are not calling on folks right now to debate, to disobey any type of unlawful order.
Have you, Congresswoman, or any other of these Democratic members of Congress heard directly from members of the U.S. military or the broader national security community who believe they've been given unlawful orders?
Well, you know, what I'd say is, I have heard from service members, and this is all a matter of public record. What we see is an uptick of concern from the men and women who are serving in uniform about the legality of orders that are being given.
They would be violating their oath if they followed illegal orders.
And I guess, Senator, members of the military, what is your advice to them if they come across something that seems confusing?
I think they need to talk to their leadership, you know, talk to their commanding officer about it and tell your commanding officer why you think this may be illegal. There are lawyers within the military, the Judge Advocate General Corps. You can have a conversation, you know, with somebody who understands the law. And, you know, there's always the option of you review the UCMJ with your leadership and you explain to somebody why you think this may not be lawful.
After widespread discontent over unpaid wages, lack of food and clothing erupted into open revolt, yes, George Washington, as commander-in-chief during the Revolutionary War, authorized the execution of his own soldiers for sedition in 1781. However, no one in U.S. history has ever been executed by hanging or any other means solely for sedition or seditious conspiracy under federal law. Historical cases involving the executions of John Brown in 1859, Mary Surratt in 1865, and William Bruce Mumford in 1862 were prosecuted under different charges like treason or martial law violations. Neither the 1798 or 1918 Sedition Acts, the 1940 Smith Act, nor the current federal seditious conspiracy statute, 18 U.S. Code 2384, has ever carried the death penalty. The current maximum penalty for seditious conspiracy is 20 years in prison, and that is what needs to be pursued without fail, or there is no executive office of the United States going forward. Throughout American history, six presidents have presided over the federal prosecution and imprisonment of individuals for sedition or seditious conspiracy. John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, George W. Bush, and Joe Biden, whose Justice Department convicted at least 18 Oath Keepers and Proud Boy leaders for their roles in January 6th, the most extensive use of the seditious conspiracy statute since World War II. And then there is the turbo sedition waged against President Trump for the past decade. The FBI's Russiagate investigation was branded a seditious conspiracy. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman was denounced as a traitor. The January 6th House Committee was accused of engaging in seditious conspiracy and treason. FISA Judge James Boasberg's actions. And now,
we'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages. I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us. A lot of news breaking just moments ago that we're going to keep following throughout the show today, but this appears to be good news, a great way to start off your morning. According to both ABC and CBS, there seems to be an agreement regarding peace. On the Ukrainian side, Ukraine apparently has agreed to President Trump's peace plan. Now, there's certain elements to all of this that they have not exactly agreed to, so we are digging into that. Of course, I have reached out to both the White House and Pentagon, but this is more of a White House-related question as of right now, so we're keeping our eyes on that. But specifically, it's the core terms of what many of these mainstream outlets are now reporting. Again, these are the mainstream media outlets, so tread lightly here. But according to them, Ukraine has agreed to the core terms. Now, just as a reminder, President Trump really applying the pressure to Ukraine to accept his peace plan before Thanksgiving. That was a big one. Now, again, this really doesn't mean anything if Russia doesn't jump on board. And if Russia doesn't like what the Ukrainian government has rejected, well, of course, then we don't have a peace deal. So we're going to keep following this throughout the day, keeping our eyes on the updates as they continue to develop. But a lot happening there, a lot of good news so far as we continue to watch what's unraveling right now in regards to the Ukrainian-Russian war potentially coming to an end. All right. I want to remind our audience, too, today we're keeping our eye on a couple of things going on right now. It's kind of like a lighter tone, I guess. The president and first lady are expected to pardon the Thanksgiving turkey today at the White House. That will be around noon. And then President Trump and the First Lady are departing and heading back to Palm Beach around 6 p.m. today. So he's got a lot ahead of his schedule today in regards to hopefully finalizing that peace deal. And we do hope that goes well for him. But there's been a lot else going on in the world. I think yesterday when we signed off and I started digging into other stories that we're going to cover today, all of a sudden everything just started coming in. It's unfortunate news, not what we wanted, of course, but it's expected at this point in the game. We all know that our justice system is highly corrupt, and it's not the system that you and I both wish it was, but unfortunately, that's where we're at right now. Yesterday, a federal judge decided to dismiss the case against James Comey. That wasn't just Comey as well. There was also the case against Tish James, which is the New York AG. That was tossed. Now, if you're wondering why, well, they're saying that Lindsay Holligan, who, again, is the interim U.S. attorney in the region, that she was unlawfully appointed to her position. Again, she's interim. This is a position that's supposed to be confirmed by the Senate. And for some reason, we haven't gotten there yet. So the judge threw out the Comey case, and that's the one I want to really focus on because, folks, this is a big one. This is a big one when it comes to the accountability tour. How the heck do we sit here and allow the cases against James Comey and Tish James just get tossed out? Now, again, I know what AG Pambani is going to say. That's, you know, is what it is. But the reality of it is they saw this coming. They saw this coming. For the people I've spoken to over at the DOJ, a lot of them have said that Pambani's office has not been of help to Holligan. And they've been kind of putting these prosecutions together on their own. Now, again, it's very, very obvious that's the case because, again, President Trump, we shared you that post back when these charges were first filed, that Truth Social post where he thanked the FBI, he thanked Holligan, but he left out Pam Bondi. There was a reason for that. Wasn't a mistake. You see, Pam Bondi's office knows that there was a statute of limitation that was coming down for James Comey. And that's the reason why President Trump wanted to be top priority to make sure that those charges were filed prior to the statute being up. So while Pam Bondi was trying to run out the clock, Holligan was forced to push whatever she could through. And again, I don't even know if she even has, according to several reports, she doesn't have a prosecution background. So this might be extremely difficult for someone to step into this position last minute and try to get this ball rolling. Now keep in mind, again, they were trying to run out the clock on this. According to the attorney that I've spoken to, Phil Holloway, who we've had on this show, Phil telling us that, yes, although the statute is up, the DOJ can now appeal this decision. That's where we're going to play in a clip in a little bit. Pam Bondi saying just that. But also the second option here, the DOJ has 6 months now to reindict, even though the statute of limitation has run out on Comey. So now they have a bit of an extension, which is good, which is good. I'm going to play clip one for you because that's the Attorney General Pam Bondi saying that her plans are to now appeal both of these decisions. Take a listen.
Your reaction to the James Comey, Letitia James cases being dropped today back in Washington. James Comey put out a video. He said this matters most because a message has to be sent. The President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies. Your reaction to the cases being dropped into that specific message?
Sure. We'll be taking all available legal action, including an immediate appeal to hold Letitia James and James Comey accountable for their unlawful conduct.
What is your reaction to his statement?
I'm going to keep going on this. I'm not worried about someone who has been charged with a very serious crime. His alleged actions were a betrayal of public trust.
Sounds good, right? But the reality is Pam Bondi is doing absolutely nothing to further the accountability tour. She's well over just a couple of months sitting in her position. And for some reason, she's unable to land and secure indictments. How much more of this do we need to see? It's not just that, folks. It's really infuriating to sit back and watch because, again, we keep hearing about how the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, isn't doing anything. He's actually, when he is doing work, it's to stop those MAGA victories, those are what the American people voted for, those wins. And then you compare it to what Pam Bondi's not doing either, and it's pretty obvious that both of them are trying their very best to run down the clock. Yesterday, the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt actually spoke to the media about this and reacted to the news in clip two. Take a listen.
No, because Lindsey Callaghan was legally appointed, and that's the administration's position. I know there was a judge who is clearly trying to shield Letitia James and James Comey from receiving accountability, and that's why they took this unprecedented action to throw away the indictments against these two individuals. But the Department of Justice will be appealing very soon, and it is our position that Lindsey Callaghan is extremely qualified for this position, but more importantly, was legally appointed to it.
What more do you need to see? What more do you need to see before you realize the Attorney General of the United States is doing absolutely nothing? We've seen her PR stunts with the Epstein files, handing those binders over to social media influencers and then forcing them to go out in front of the cameras and then telling them they have to wait 3 hours before they could talk about any of the content inside of the binders that she handed them. Obviously, it was a way to use them because she knew there was something in that binder. That's why she put a letter to Cash Patel in that binder. Again, one of them was so outraged they couldn't publicly speak out about this that they sent me the letter, which I then revealed to you all on X. We completely ignored her embargo because Attorney General Pam Bondi is full of it, is full of it. She is not up for this position. It is very, very obvious that she is weak. That is why they confirmed her so quickly, and she got very little pushback. Her confirmation hearing was a clear indicator of just that. Not a single person pushed back on her, grilling her, sitting back and watching, wondering, why are they being so nice? Being so nice. We saw what they did to other Trump picks, but her and Cash Patel, they all had it very, very nice. There was a lot to point out about Pam Bondi, especially given the fact that she was the Florida AG, but they chose not to. See, Pam Bondi is blowing the clock right now. She is absolute garbage. She needs to be tossed out of her position. We need to replace her. I think the president understands that, though. And again, I'll keep reiterating the report that I heard from individuals over at Andrew Bailey's office while he was Missouri Attorney General. He was then transferred over to the FBI as the co-deputy director, which is not even a position, but they made it a position. Why? Well, very likely the angle here is to move him over to replace Pam Bondi. Now, it's not just my opinion on that matter. He told multiple staffers in a meeting that that was his plan. In 6 months, he was taking them all with him to the U.S. Attorney General's office. So I think President Trump knows what's going on. It's just a matter of when he's willing to give in and out her. Now, again, we've seen several reports regarding all of this and how the president might be waiting it out to make some massive changes after the new year. But to sit here and to allow a judge to throw this case out is pretty insane, given the fact that President Trump was facing multiple persecutions all across the country, and he had presidential immunity. The judges wouldn't even entertain that argument. They wouldn't even entertain it. He was going to fight for that argument over at the Supreme Court. So what do you think about that? What does it tell you when James Comey, Tish James, are able to win a little fight with the federal judges in regards to whether or not the U.S. attorney who's prosecuting them is lawfully appointed to her position? They could get a victory there, but President Trump, when it comes to presidential immunity, which is very clear cut, was unable to get any type of victory there. Folks, our judicial system is absolutely corrupted. And there needs to be massive change. There's enough evidence out there to prove that James Comey lied, that James Comey is a scumbag criminal. Just to remind you all, we're going to play clip three for you. This is another highlight of James Comey lying under oath to Congress. Take a listen.
To another topic. On May 3rd, 2017, in this committee, Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, "Have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?" You responded under oath, quote, "Never." He then asked you, quote, "Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration?" You responded again under oath, "No." Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak. And Mr. McCabe, if he says contrary, is not telling the truth. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
All right, I'm going to make a final point because my time has expired. This investigation of the president was corrupt. The FBI and the Department of Justice were politicized and weaponized. And in my opinion, there are only two possibilities. That you were deliberately corrupt or woefully incompetent. And I don't believe you were incompetent. This has done severe damage to the professionals and the honorable men and women at the FBI because law enforcement should not be used as a political weapon. And that is...
Yeah, that's common sense. That's common sense. So again, we have it. It's clear cut. Very easy to prove. Just a matter of getting a judge that is willing to uphold the law and set aside their political bias. Or maybe they're just being shaken down. I mean, there's no other way to look at this, folks. There's literally no other way to look at this. Also, we have a jam-packed program ahead of you guys today. So as we continue to follow the news developing regarding Ukraine And I've got calls and emails out to the Pentagon and the White House. Obviously, the White House would be the one to respond on this, but I will let you know once we start hearing back from folks. But I want to also tell you guys what we have ahead of us today. Ken Silva is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, about 10 minutes, to break down FBI Director Kash Patel's interview that he did with Catherine Heritage. She asked the tough questions, and she even asked my questions regarding, specifically regarding how this Thomas Crooks case has really been mapped out for the public. She actually did do follow-up after follow-up after follow-up, and she didn't allow Kash Patel to dance his way out of this. We'll play that clip for you. Also joining me is going to be the former Trump spokeswoman, Miss Liz Harrington, joins us in the second hour of the program. Mark Mitchell also going to be joining us as well as Raw Egg Nationalists and Jessamyn Goodman from White Coat Waste as well. So we got like a whole packed house today. A lot happening over here as we continue to follow stories that are very, very important to cover. I want to make sure we also cover this one because, again, this is massive. When it comes to Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, he was one of the many Democrats decided to post a video telling our service members, if you hear of any illegal action being taken up or being being issued by the White House, the commander-in-chief, you don't do it. It was quite strange given the fact that they can't actually cite what illegal action they were talking about there, but the idea wasn't to actually have a concrete angle to all of this, to cite one thing that they've deemed currently would be an unlawful order given out by the president. What they're doing is they're trying to create chaos. Obviously, many of those individuals who were in that video, one specific one, obviously former CIA, that sounds familiar. The Pentagon saying yesterday that it's an investigating Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. He's a retired U.S. Navy fighter pilot and obviously a NASA astronaut as well, for possible violations of military law after he appeared in a video with other Democratic lawmakers urging active duty military and intelligence personnel to refuse illegal orders. Now, obviously, that's not going to sit well with the Pentagon. And it's not going to sit well with Pete Hegseth either, the Secretary of War. Pete Hegseth throwing an absolute left hook today on X. So Captain Kelly, not only did your seditious video intentionally undercut good order and discipline, but you can't even display your uniform correctly. Your medals are out of order, rows reversed. When, if you are recalled to active duty, it will start with a uniform inspection. And as you see there, his uniform was kind of like his way of pretending to still be a patriot, even though obviously that is not the case. Mark Kelly, one of the many Democrats doing their very best to uppercut the administration, but it's not working. It's not working. I want to play clip four for you because Mark Kelly is responding to the Department of War, who now has made that official announcement. Take a listen.
Let me first just get your response to this threat from the Defense Department saying that they are investigating you. They may potentially recall you to active duty to face a court-martial.
Well, Rachel, I said something that was pretty simple and non-controversial, and that was that members of the military should follow the law. And in response to that, Donald Trump said, I should be executed. I should be hanged. I should be prosecuted. He even went on and said something about go get them. I guess sending a mob to round me and the other folks up. So this is, I think it says a lot more about him than it says about me. He doesn't want accountability. But, Rachel, I'm not going to be silenced. I'm not going to be intimidated.
And as you hear, it's just the I'm ignorant and had no idea what I was doing stance. And obviously, based on the appearance of this right here, yeah, you get to get that kind of insight. The White House, though, isn't holding back, and they are actually responding, clip five, to the allegations Mark Kelly is now facing. Take a listen.
Investigation into Mark Kelly. What do you make of his response that it's just intimidation?
The White House is supportive of the Department of War's investigation into Senator Mark Kelly. And I think what Senator Mark Kelly was actually trying to do was intimidate the 1.3 million active duty service members who are currently serving in our United States Armed Forces with that video that he and his Democrat colleagues put out. Senator Mark Kelly well knows the rules of the military and the respect that one must have for the chain of command, and that all lawful orders are presumed to be legal by our service members. You can't have a functioning military if there is disorder and chaos within the ranks, and that's what these Democrat members were encouraging. It's very clear.
When she talks about chaos within the ranks, there's a reason for that, folks. There is a reason for that. The CIA are experts at creating chaos, and I bet if you were just to do a little look, a little examination as to who's been reaching out to these Democrats, you probably would find a CIA tie there, probably. Just gonna guess. You're wondering why I feel that way. Well, it's very, very obvious to me when you watch the video from the very beginning to the very end what they're trying to do. They're trying to create confusion. They're trying to create chaos. If you hear of any unlawful orders, you don't carry those out. What the heck does that mean? And then we see Democrats doing their cable news hits, and they're asked those questions. Have you heard of any illegal orders being issued by the President of the United States? They have nothing. Oh, we just put out a little video. Don't worry about it. They're doing their very best to begin a very chaotic situation where you have members of our military not doing the tasks that they are supposed to be carrying out. So yeah, the Department of War has every single right to do just that, to investigate people like Mark Kelly. And we look forward to seeing what that leads them to. I want to bring you an update on a story regarding Border Patrol agents and others, part of DHS, being doxxed on social media. DHS has just recently, we told you about the subpoenas that were going out. Well, DHS has just recently dropped those subpoenas that were directed at Meta and Instagram over those allegations. A U.S. district judge on Friday ordered Meta not to provide the Department of Homeland Security with personal information of Instagram users accused of releasing personal details about a Border Patrol agent. DHS sent the subpoenas over to Meta earlier this month, seeking the names, email addresses, and phone numbers of those associated with the accounts. And the judge is saying for them not to hand those over, saying that the request was related, of course, to the doxing of these agent or the specific agent in this case. But again, the judge stepping in and saying, no, you're not going to get that information. These judges are really doing a great job at protecting those that are trying their very best to destroy this country. I mean, there's no other way to look at this. I mean, how many more times are we going to discuss the fact that these judges are the ones that are standing in the way of all of this? The cover-up for the corruption, it is, in fact, never-ending. It's discouraging, yes, but this is why you appoint someone to lead the DOJ who's got some cojones on them. So again, time and time again, we keep talking about it. DOJ not doing its job, DHS trying at least to protect one of its agents, but can't do that because the judges are standing in the way. It just seems like it's a never-ending situation. Folks, I don't know if you saw, we're going to play it for you today. Ken Silva joining us from Headline USA to dig into that interview that Cash Patel did with Catherine Heritage. So he's joining us in just a few moments, so you're not going to want to go anywhere for that because there was a lot of interesting clips that we kind of gathered for you in regards to that interview. We caught the FBI lying several times. Ken has done an incredible job of doing just that. And he also has some receipts. So he's been doing the digging. So we're going to out all of that in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to the Alex Jones store right now because you're going to want to take advantage of the Black Friday specials we have going on all week long. Right now, for a limited time, it's buy one, get one free on all supplements. This is the biggest sale we've ever done, and it ends on Friday. So make sure you head on over to the shop and grab those supplements now. When you make a purchase, you enter to win a Jeep and potentially $10,000 in cash. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now.
This is the biggest show we've ever run. It runs until Friday. Listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want free. So you can buy a supplement that's $20 and get one that's $40 for free. Did you hear that? That is insane. And there's a bunch of other specials running on top of it. We have an 80%+ reorder on these supplements. People love them so much, but I'm trying to get those of you out there that are on the fence, 99% of you, to go there and experience Iris CMOS. We got the strongest best. Experience our turmeric. It's the best. The products are so good. Our ultramethylene blue, our Shilajit, our Iris CMOS, our spike protein, pro cardiovascular, super formula, ultimate line fours. Experience it all. This is game-changing. Also, site-wide, 25% off on all apparel. All these new incredible designs of T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, Christmas designs, you name it. It's all there. We will continue to fight. We'll never give up or back down or sell out, but we could give out without your support. So I want to salute those that have supported and humbly ask those that haven't. Are we not the tip of the spear? Are we not changing the world? I need your support. Plus, these are great products. This is a win-win. So get in here right now. We need your help. They have appointed a state receiver to shut us down. We've basically exhausted everything in court. The receiver from the state court says he's going to try to have an auction, but we don't know. It could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, but they say we should be closed by early January. Okay? Well, here's the deal. We have the Alex Jones Backup Network. That's funded by thealexjonesstore.com. But also, thealexjonesstore.com is funding InfoWars. Because if they have a real auction and the good guys are able to buy it, if they actually do that, unlike what happened in federal court, we'll stay here. It'll be great. So this is like we're on death row here. Do we get the reprieve again? So that's the struggles. That's why supporting us now at this critical moment is more important than ever. Plus, the products are insanely good. Just do your Christmas shopping early with us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody that's going to buy anything is going to be a VIP. It's not even a commitment. You cancel any time for free. You get $30 to be a VIP each month. $40 instantly each month to spend the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should be a VIP. You just get special offers and special deals and $40 for $30. So you make $10 on your first purchase right there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support.
Step right up and behold a creation so powerful, so potent, it could only come from my secret vitality factory. Shilajit Gummies. Packed with ancient minerals and super-infused goodness, these little squares of power will boost your day faster than a fizzy lifting drink. Need that spark of pure imagination? Pop one of these into your mouth and feel the natural energy flow right through you. Visit thealexjonesstore.com.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Excited that you're all joining us today. There's a lot going on. Obviously, we're keeping our eyes on the potential peace agreement that might come to play between Ukraine and Russia. We know that Russia so far has not agreed to President Trump's peace plan. The Washington Post saying that it doesn't look to be the case, that they will actually agree to what has now been changed a little bit. Ukraine obviously now jumping on board, according to a White House official. So we're keeping our eye on that as it continues to develop. But I wanted to bring you back towards a couple of other really important stories regarding the FBI. We've caught the FBI several times, Cash Patel, the director of the FBI, not being what appears to be truthful. Now, we don't know if he's intentionally lying or if he's wrongfully giving information and regurgitating that to the American people. But the reality of it is the FBI director has been not very credible lately. not very credible at all. We've continued to outline that for you. But he just recently did an interview, and I want to play this clip because you're going to listen to clip 13, and it's all in regards to both the report that I've released about Thomas Crooks, as well as Tucker Carlson and Miranda Devine. And it's quite interesting when he talks about Crooks and the ongoing investigation that's currently being led by his agency. Take a listen.
What explains the discrepancies and confusion over Crooks' online activity?
Look, I think, Catherine, you know this, in media, everyone's entitled to their opinion and everyone's entitled to put out whatever they want to put out. But what we, the FBI, are not entitled to do is trample over your First Amendment rights. And so while people are asking why the prior administration didn't find Thomas Crooks earlier, and it's a valid question, by the way. One, you can ask the prior administration. We weren't here. But two, this FBI or any FBI doesn't have the ability to go out and monitor, nor should it, people who are on YouTube or on social media platforms or on email platforms. And we have to balance both the criminality, if there is such, versus the First Amendment protections, which we must adhere to.
You mentioned earlier that you've been briefing President Trump. Is President Trump satisfied by the findings?
Yes.
No more questions?
No.
You heard it from her. Joining me now to discuss is Ken Silva. He is one of the editors over at Headline USA. He does an incredible job there at exposing all of this. And he also is a great follow on X, so I highly recommend you give him a follow there as well. Ken, I want to thank you for being here, because you and I both on X have been going through Battelle's and the FBI's statements they've been putting out in regards to Crooks. And you just recently caught them in kind of another lie. And this one's quite interesting in regards to how many rounds were recovered. According to Fox News, every single round was accounted for. That's the official that they claim that they spoke to over at the FBI. But you have somehow found that in a House Task Force report, that doesn't appear to be the case, saying that one of the bullets Crooks fired was not recovered. So between that and the interview that was given to, by the FBI director directly, Kash Patel, what do you make of all of this?
Well, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I don't know if I would call it a lie or them just using really loose terminology. And I guess I would like to see the full hour plus interview that they gave to Fox News. That would be really helpful to know what's going on. I've been looking at the Fox News interview more because the Catherine Herridge one didn't go into Crooks too much. So I guess quick, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is they did debunk the notion that Crooks was into furries. That stems from him having supposedly an account on DeviantArt, which is known for furry content. But they clarified that he was actually into like weird muscular women instead, and he wasn't into these furry thing. And there was also questions about him having they, them pronouns. But on that account, that's like your default setting. So unless you actually switch it to he, him, it's just going to show up as they, them. So I think that was actually a public service they did. But the most troubling aspect of the interview is their posturing that they provided all the transparency on this case that they can. Kash Patel specifically said that, you know, we've given Congress everything we have. There's literally nothing more that we have given. And of course, so either the FBI is lying or Congress is lying, because we've got multiple members of Congress complaining that even under the new administration, they're being totally stonewalled. And, you know, moreover, if they're providing all this information to Congress, why can't they provide it to the people that voted Congress in? I mean, in May of this year, Dan Bongino went on Fox and Friends, and he says, the case file right now, which we're going to make another release on, we're just finishing up the product to make sure it's tight. And then we never got anything. So they really haven't fulfilled their promise to release information to the public. So that's the bad. And then, you know, the ugly part is this misinformation that we've been discussing about Crooks, whether he was talking to this Willie Tepes guy, and this issue of the all the bullets being accounted for. And again, I think this is just loose language, because you could say, you know, Crooks took 8 shots, and we know that everything's accounted for because we have audio and video of that. One of the bullets was lodged into one of the victims, James Copenhaver. It's like by his spine, so they can't extract it because they might paralyze him if they do that. So when the report says one of the bullets wasn't covered, maybe it's referencing that because it's still in one of the victims. And so maybe they're actually accurate when they're saying, oh, all the bullets are accounted for because one's in the victim. But again, if you read the report, they weren't able to establish trajectories for all the bullets. And this just goes into the question of like, well, were there more than one shooter? I believe it was probably just Crooks, but I think they need to be more specific on the information they have to kind of debunk these conspiracies. And that just goes back to the point of, you know, they gave an hour plus interview to Fox, but it apparently they're not going to release a recording or a transcript. And they really need to sit down in front of a camera and break these issues down in greater detail.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to avoid that. I think that's the reason why they do things like this. You know, that interview that Cash gave yesterday to Catherine, from my sources, was supposed to go on for significantly longer, but it was kind of shortcutted. Not from anything, not anything suspicious, but that was not the initial plan on their part. So that's the interesting angle to that. And then, yes, like you cited, how Fox has not yet publicly released any of the actual transcripts in regards to what they've done recently. I think that's the reason why you run to Fox, because Fox has been running cover for this administration rather than being journalists and grilling them on very specific issues. And it's very unfortunate that that's the case. But here we are. We're dealing with a media outlet that's just trying to tread lightly and probably avoid defamation claims and lawsuits. And so they're not doing actual investigative journalism. They're not digging into any of this. They're not really mentioning names. They're being very particular with what they do cover. And if it's not coming directly from the government, they don't go anywhere near it these days, and it's pretty disturbing, but that's where we're at. And I want to keep talking about Cash because I think this is really important because, you know, Catherine did a good job at talking to him about a couple of other things. He's obviously received a lot of criticism from the public and members of the media regarding his use of the jet, his FBI charter, like the one he's got, that he's criticized Christopher Wray about quite often. Now he's receiving criticism, and he's saying that the American people have it wrong. We're going to play clip 14 for you because he's saying, oh, no. It's not that I'm costing the American people money. I'm actually saving you money. Take a listen.
Let's talk about the jet. You flew on a Department of Justice jet to visit your girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, performing at an event at State College. Were any rules broken?
No. And I'm shocked that people would. Well, I guess I'm not shocked anymore. Mm-hmm. This FBI, under my leadership, changed the FBI plane use requirements so that we could save the taxpayer money. I am the only director to ever mandate the use of government airfields. The prior directors utilized airfields like Reagan National to the tune of $4 million for takeoffs and landings. And so I think this is another distraction from the work that we are doing here at the FBI. And the fact that members of Congress are up in arms about it, why don't we ask them how often they went home during the government shutdown and how much money they spent going home and who they traveled with and how many delegations they had?
As you heard there, he's trying his best to kind of reverse it. But the reality of it is listen, I would say, all right, like don't hover over the issue. But when he was sitting and he was on a podcast, he was on Benny Johnson, he was so critical of what Christopher Wray was doing with U.S. taxpayer money regarding his flights. And so here he is now pretending like he's not doing the same exact thing. I think it's criticism that's fair. What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, and when he says he's saving the taxpayer money, I believe he's referring to the fact that he's going straight to the government airstrip to use the jet instead of like Christopher Wray used to have the jet brought to Dulles Airport to like save him time and traffic. So that would save a little bit of money. It's like less bad, but it's still very expensive to fly around in a Gulfstream private jet for personal reasons, to visit his girlfriend at wrestling matches. He went to Scotland on a personal trip. He went to a hunting trip over Halloween weekend. It was called Boondoggle Ranch, which is kind of like ironic wording. And the issue here is that the FBI director, they also say, oh, we do pay a reimbursement fee. But what they do is they pay commercial fare. So, you know, flying from D.C. to Texas might cost you a couple hundred bucks on a commercial airliner. But, of course, FBI Gulfstream is much more expensive. And while you were playing that clip, I pulled up an old government report that was investigating this issue that says that the FBI director in 2010, I think that was Mueller, he traveled to New York, and he paid $420 in this commercial reimbursement, but the flight cost $16,000. So it's exponentially more than the commercial fare, regardless of whether he takes off from a government airstrip or from Dulles Airport. It's still just astronomically more than what he's paying in reimbursement fees.
Yeah, well, must be nice. I mean, that's a heck of a bargain, just not for the American people, but that's a good bargain for him at least. Yeah. I mean, we'd kill for that one. That's a solid one for him. It's so absurd. It's so absurd. And yeah, I don't want to hover over the issue. I want him to do his job, and I understand he's obviously going to take personal time, but you know, it's just, what are we doing here? Especially when you understood the level of criticism everyone else is coming from just a couple of years ago, and you had no problem going after Christopher Wray for this behavior. It's absurd. And there's also the report about him, and we're going to talk about it later in the program too, but him and the SWAT team detail that he's given his girlfriends. Again, that's bizarre, and I'll let you kind of weigh in on that, Ken, too, because, you know, according to the report, he was really upset when the SWAT team wasn't hovering over her extensively during one of her, I believe it was a performance that they were referring to, and he kind of went off on all of them. But the reality of it is she's just a girlfriend. Yeah, I'm sure she gets death threats, but, you know, he keeps calling her my partner, my life partner, and all these bizarre names, but they're not married. They're not engaged. She's just your girlfriend, and you're sitting here flying her around, and you're providing her with taxpayer detail, a SWAT team detail. You know, we all got death threats. His friends got death threats, and none of us got that level of treatment when we reported it to the FBI. So, I mean, Ken, what do you make of all of this? Because while all of these people who he knows personally were getting swatted, we're getting all these threats emailed to them directly, Ken, he didn't send over a SWAT team detail to secure his friends or to secure innocent Americans. It just seems bizarre to me that it's a girlfriend. You're going to sit here and prop her up. If it was his wife and they were married, that'd be one thing. But this whole thing just seems really weird, Ken.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And they're not even common law husband and wife because they don't even live together. I think they see each other a couple times, maybe a month. And the interesting thing about the report you referenced about, you know, she had two FBI agents guarding her at an NRA convention, and they left once they found the convention was secure because they're going to go do their real jobs. And then Cash got really mad about this. Well, the detail that I noticed is that happened in the spring. It doesn't say the month, but it must have been before all these conspiracies started floating about the girlfriend being a Mossad agent or whatever, which, you know, I don't think there's anything there. Yeah. 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 I'm not saying that's true. I think that's actually false. You know, if her lawyers are watching,
they're very trigger happy these days.
That's for sure. But yeah, the point is, like, she was getting these guards before all that kind of hit the fan. So the excuse that she's receiving threats due to these conspiracy theories doesn't really hold water because she was getting these guards back in the spring.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty strange too, the timing of that. I'm glad you brought up the timing too. Yeah, I mean, I get, like, we all get death threats, and I know that they are too. I mean, I know Cash Patel's getting them too, because I saw one online and quickly reached out to his team just to alert them of it. This is a couple of months back. So I know that there's threats out there, and I'm not going to be dismissive of that, but this whole thing is just bizarre. And I'm sure the FBI SWAT team was not happy when they were given a detail work that really doesn't pertain to their job at all. Again, none of this makes sense, especially if there really was an emergency in the area that day and they were too busy following around a girlfriend of Cash Patel's and not doing what they should be doing. I mean, that would have been a massive, massive scandal in itself. So I totally get that. I want to switch gears up a little bit too, because the burn bag story is coming back. Catherine, again, asking him about that. It's going to be clip 15 for us. But I want to listen to this carefully because this burnt bag story, there's so much more to it that director's not talking about. So let's take a listen.
Let me ask you, when you learned about the discovery of the five burn bags here at FBI headquarters, what went through your head?
Shock. Unbelievable shock that not just one director and his leadership team, but multiple would have information that's supposed to be secured. Some of it's classified, but I mean secured for purposes of record-keeping purposes, to keep up with federal statutory requirements, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And instead, they were depositing bags listed for destruction. So that was very disturbing, just that in and of itself, putting aside whatever was in there.
The burn bags were found in room 9582. Mm-hmm. That's a secure facility. I'm told
by former agents that it would have some sort of access system or mm-hmm. key card system. Does FBI leadership have a good idea who put the burn bags in that room?
We do.
You know for sure, or you have a good universe of suspects? You know who put the burn bags there. What was the intent of the person who put the burn bags in room 9582? Was it to preserve them, to be discovered later, or to make sure they were destroyed?
Well, that's the those are the questions we're answering for the public and for this investigation, because not only are we not in the business of not exonerating people, but we're in the business of taking our investigative findings and working with Congress to say, look, even though we did not or did reach a legal conclusion on the matter, this is of such public importance in terms of the weaponization of government that happened, who are people like President Trump were targeted, including myself, and more senators that we just revealed thanks to this FBI's work in uncovering not just the burn bag, but other material related to Arctic Frost. What we want to do is find a public forum to display that information, and we believe that until our investigations conclude, we will be limited in what we can produce.
It sounds to me like you know the answer to that question.
I do.
That's what I thought.
See, what I'd love to ask him, how did he find those burn bags? I think that's going to be a story in itself down the road. But Ken, your reaction to the fact that he's talking about the burn bags, he claims he knows who had the burn bags there. I've always thought this story seems quite strange, because if you were someone really looking to dispose of this evidence, why would you just leave it hanging around? You'd probably personally make sure that that evidence was disposed of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree with you 100%. It's an interesting story, but the legal implications are unclear. The reason this is kind of surfacing now is because the DOJ is actually filing FBI records about these burn bags in the case of James Comey, who filed a motion to dismiss for vindictive prosecution, saying, oh, Trump is forcing this case against me just because he doesn't like me. And the DOJ came back and responded with this information about burn bags, saying, like, no, this doesn't come from Trump. We were doing this internal investigation about the mess you left us. And part of that investigation is these burn bags that we found with all these documents about Russiagate, January 6th, Mar-a-Lago, and other sensitive cases. But again, to your point, I don't even think Kash Patel answered Catherine's question about the intent. Was this really to destroy the documents, or was it to actually preserve it or maybe hide them? I don't think it's really going to weigh on Comey's case when they refile it either way. And this is kind of just par for the course for the FBI. Just to give you a little bit of historical context, the idea of a secret room and secret filings goes back to like the 1940s, when J. Edgar Hoover started something called the June Files, where he was doing all these illegal buggings and wiretaps. And he would put information about the illegal wiretaps into something called the June Mail. And I'm quoting from a book called Cloak and Gavel, which is about the FBI spying on the Supreme Court. And it says the June Mail was sent to a high security safe called the Special File Room. These parallel filing systems were designed so that agents could plausibly deny knowledge of illegal tactics. And so this was discovered in the 1970s during the Church Commission. And instead of actually abandoning this system altogether, the FBI just changed the name from the June Files to the Zero Files. And that lasted until the 90s, until they were caught again. And then they changed the name again to something called the I Drive. And then they later changed it again to the S Drive. And now it seems like this same system is being discovered again under Kash Patel, but it goes back decades, and I doubt that they're going to stop it, because it seems like the FBI just likes to hide its misdeeds.
Definitely does, Ken, and we're going to continue to follow that, because I think there's more to that story than what he's letting on. Before you go, though, it's a little bit of a longer soundbite, so I want to jump right to it. Patel was also asked about Epstein. Let's play clip 16 right now.
On the Epstein files. The Epstein Files Transparency Act has a very tight deadline, 30 days to produce unclassified records. Will the FBI meet the 30-day deadline?
Well, we are working with our partners at the Department of Justice to produce, as we've always committed to producing, what we can lawfully, legally produce. And we will continue to meet those metrics, reminding the public that there are court orders in place, protective orders, and orders to seal in place that legally prohibit the disclosure of information related to any investigation when there's a court order of that fashion. So we're working with DOJ to say if we can produce anything more.
As FBI director, will you commit to as few of blacked out sections or redactions as possible?
We always do. We have in our productions to Congress, which have been historic to this year, and we'll treat every matter in the same fashion while also upholding always victims' rights. Mm-hmm. Victims' rights in any case, whether it's President Trump's case, mm-hmm. this case, or any case, the victims' rights statutes are preeminent, and we will protect mm-hmm. those victims at all costs.
President Trump told your boss, Attorney General Pam Bondi, to look into the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein and Democrats, including former President Bill Clinton. Is the probe limited to Democrats, or will you follow the facts wherever they lead?
We'll just follow the facts. It's pretty simple for this FBI.
This administration campaigned on releasing the Epstein files. What do you say to Americans who are skeptical that there will be actual justice under a Trump administration?
Look at the work of this FBI. To date, in the 9 months that I've been on this job, we've arrested 30,000 people, 25,000 of which have been violent felons. That is double increase from year to date, from the same time period last year. We have taken on our priorities in counter-espionage work to an increase of 35% more arrests year-to-date alone. On the drug front, we've seized 1,900 kilograms of fentanyl. That is a 35% increase from year-to-date last year. That's just the work of this FBI. We found 5,400.
I'll step in on this because I think he's just, you know, serving us a word salad again. And I don't think the American people really care for that. I think they want him to answer real tough questions about all of this. But when it comes to Epstein, he's saying that they're going to give out they're going to try their best not to redact much. Ken, we hear this time and time again. It sounds like they're just dancing around something, using the victims as kind of their fallout as well. What do you make of all of this?
This is where he's just being totally disingenuous, because he's saying that there's court orders that won't let them release some of these documents. And I believe what he's referring to is the Ghislaine Maxwell case, where there are restrictions on just releasing discovery that was produced in that case. But the thing is, only, I think, like four victims testified against Maxwell. And according to the government's own memo that Kash Patel issued in, this must have been June, Epstein had over 1,000 victims. So those 996 victims would not be subjected to the court order because they weren't involved in the Maxwell case. So each one of those victims should have some sort of 302 form or a witness statement where they're interviewed by the FBI. Do these records exist? If so, that's what we need to see. If not, they have some explaining to do why they never even interviewed these victims.
Yeah.
So there's that. And really, when he's talking about these historic productions, we have had a number of revelations about Epstein in recent months, but this has all come from documents turned over by the estate to the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
Stuff like his birthday book, stuff like the ledger where he's paying girls.
Ken, the commercial's about to cut you off. I wanted to make sure I jumped in on there. Ken, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time as always.
I think my point was clear, though.
I know. You're good at this, though. We appreciate you joining us again, folks. Give him a follow on X. He is one of the best. Give him a follow right now. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch. Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Tuesday, everyone. All right, we're trying to catch up on everything regarding the news cycle because moments before we went to air, obviously, we were hearing stories about Ukraine coming to the agreement that President Trump has drafted out there, the peace plan that he's put forward. There were some changes that Ukraine wanted to make. Obviously, Russia has to agree to this. But according to a White House official, yes, Ukraine has agreed to the peace plan after making some changes, but it's up to now Russia to make some type of an agreement. It's very likely, though, according to the Washington Post, that's not going to happen because there were very key things, elements that they really wanted in there. And it's looking like Ukraine had those removed. Now, we're trying to follow it as it develops. And we've got our team, obviously, continuously looking into this. We'll bring you the news as it continues to develop. But again, mainstream media is reporting that Ukraine has agreed to the core terms. Now, I've also reached out to the White House for a comment. The Pentagon also is aware that we're looking for more information on that. And hopefully we'll have some more news to you soon. I really, really hate following specifically the White House, the mainstream media. But as I'm looking over, we actually, about 30 seconds ago, it looks like the White House is putting out a press secretary statement. Over the past week, the United States has made tremendous progress towards a peace deal by bringing both Ukraine and Russia to the table. This is according to the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. She goes on to pretty much just saying that the details must be sorted out, will require further talks between Ukraine and Russia and the United States. So not exactly 100% slam dunk as of yet. It looks like, according to the press secretary who just put that out moments ago, again, we're keeping our eye on this, of course, because this is truly important. And I know we want this war to end. So we are keeping our eye on all things related to that. Folks, we are keeping our eye on it. We'll continue to follow it as it develops. In the meantime, though, we've got a lot more to discuss. The former spokeswoman for President Trump will be joining us in just a few moments. Miss Liz Harrington will be joining us. A lot to talk about with her. I'll get a reaction regarding what we're hearing just now about this, obviously, peace plan. Again, the White House not 100% saying that it's finalized. Obviously, we need Russia to sign on board for this. But again, this is a big one. This is a big victory lap, and we look forward to speaking to Liz Harrington about that. Plus, Mark Mitchell will be joining the show in just a bit as well in this hour. And then in the third hour, we got Raw Egg Nationalist joining us. Many of you guys know he's one of the incredible writers on InfoWars.com. There's a bunch of stories, especially if you're a MAHA supporter, that you're going to want to hear because he's been writing those up and putting them up on the website. He's going to join us to detail just that. And Justin Goodman will also join us in the third hour of the show. In case you're not familiar with Justin Goodman, he is one of the individuals who runs the White Coat Waste Project. Ultimately, if you're wondering what that is, well, they're trying their best to fight for animal rights. And one of their big things was to end animal testing. Well, there's been quite the victory there, but there's also a story that isn't the victory that we're looking for. And so I'm going to have him on the show in just a bit as well to detail just that for you. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of things going on right now that I'm keeping my eye on in regards to just other stories we're following. If you're wondering what I'm talking about there, well, Campbell soup. I hope none of you eat it at home. It's going to be like another Maha story for us that we'll be doing in a little bit. But Campbell's Soup, it is a clip that you're going to want to hear because according to one employee, they somehow have gotten one of their executives on a recorded line and they're claiming that Campbell's Soup, and again, this is their claims, they're claiming that Campbell's Soup is using bioengineered meat and they claim like a 3D printed meat. I've never heard of it before. I don't know, I'm carnivore these days, so I actually eat real meat and I go to the butcher to get that, but they're claiming that that's what's in their soup products. It's an insane claim. We'll play the local news report for you that's highlighting just that. I can't even wrap my mind around it. I think it's absolutely disgusting, but it's something that you're going to want to hear. So we'll be bringing that to you in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we have our Black Friday specials kicking off a little bit sooner. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. And when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're entering to win a potentially a free Jeep and $10,000 in cash. And just to add to that as well, we're also doing 25% off apparel. So head on over to the shop right now and buy up.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here. We're keeping our eye on all things related to Ukraine and Russia because the mainstream media kind of broke open the story this morning that Ukraine has agreed to President Trump's peace plan that he's laid out. Now, we've talked about it extensively on this show. I've gone over some of the points that President Trump wanted to make sure we're included in all of this. We've been following this story all morning. According to one White House official, they did agree that the Ukrainian side of all of this has been a thumbs up, but they have taken out certain aspects of it, not detailing much, just kind of alluding to that. But we're also waiting to see if Russia is willing to accept these I guess we'll just say these terms, but the reality of it is it's very likely that they might not. And so although this is exciting news because this means we're getting very, very close to the war ending, there's a lot more to work out. And the president is probably very, very busy right now doing just that. So joining me to discuss is the former Trump spokesperson. Please welcome to the show, Liz Harrington joins us now to discuss. Liz, I want to thank you for being here. You know, moments ago, we heard from Caroline Leavitt, who put out a tweet saying that they're still kind of working over all of these details. But this would be a massive victory for the president because he has been pushing for this war to end. And we know that he's been applying a lot of pressure to the Ukrainian side of all of this, saying he wants an agreement. He wants an acceptance of his plan by Thanksgiving. Your reaction to the news as it continues to develop?
Well, great to see you, Brianna. I think it's great news. Hopefully, it works out. It would be great news in time for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Look, President Trump, he was put into this position that should never happen in the first place. He says it over and over, but it has to be reiterated because it's so true. This is a war that should have never even started. And it wouldn't have, of course, if we didn't have the rigged and stolen 2020 election. But here we are, and he's worked tirelessly to try to fix the mess that, you know, really wasn't even Biden. He didn't even know what was going on, but what they got us into. And of course, so many forces do not want this war to end. They want forever wars to continue. So it's a monumental task. And then of course you have to get Russia to agree. So we'll see if it happens, but I hope, I'm really hopeful because this is absurd. Again, if we're coming up on 4 years of all this needless killing, and only President Trump is going to be able to get it to come to an end. So Let's hope that this is the plan that works.
Yeah, and we're hoping that this is the plan that works, because enough is enough. You know, Russia claiming that they've taken 1.7 million Ukrainian lives in all of this. The numbers are kind of all over the place, but they made that declaration, or that announcement, I guess I should say, earlier this week over at the UN. And it's just so heartbreaking. You know, we had my friend was over, Sonia Labosco, who we had on the show, who sent me video footage of what it's like at a cemetery when you're going through all of these young people who have lost their lives in Ukraine from this war. And the footage is just absolutely devastating. And their parents, their families truly obviously miss them, but this never should have happened in the first place. And it's an absolute disgrace that our taxpayer money was continuing to fuel this. We should have forced both sides to come to the table and end this war, but sadly that wasn't the case under the Biden regime. So we're thankful that President Trump has made this a top priority for his administration. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, though, because just before you came on with us, we also had Ken Silva on the program to detail an interview that Kash Patel, the FBI director, was doing last night. And in that interview, he was outlining a story that I know you and I have been following extensively. I have released what I have are the social media posts regarding Thomas Crooks, the first individual who attempted to assassinate President Donald Trump. And this came after, obviously, Tucker Carlson released his report, and both me and Miranda Devine have been releasing information on the document that we both have. And it's been interesting to see the FBI's response to all of this, because they have been suddenly sharing the information as well, now telling the American people what we were trying to apply pressure before behind the scenes for them to share. But I wanted to play clip 17 for you, because specifically in this clip, Kash Patel is walking the American people through the current investigation that's still ongoing in regards to Thomas Crook. Take a listen.
One of the big cases you inherited is the attempted assassination of President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. What are the findings?
So, as you know, Catherine, we've been briefing the president constantly on this matter, and he's very satisfied with it. And I understand the public's desire for more and more information. But when we came in, our job was to both treat the president as the president of the United States and a victim, and remind the American public that there were three other victims, and tragically, one person even lost his life. So there are certain victims' rights that we have to honor. Mm-hmm. But what we did and what we presented and what we released is the full findings that we are able to publicize to the world that definitively answer questions regarding Butler. We seized dozens and dozens of devices. We exploited and got into every single one of those devices. We got onto all the online platforms and social media sites of the assailant of Crooks, and we did a re-canvassing just to double down since we got in and inherited this case. And we gave out information to Congress and the public that the prior administration refused to do.
Just to be clear, did Thomas Crooks act alone?
Yes, based on the evidence that we have, that is the conclusive finding of the matter.
Is there evidence of foreign involvement?
There, as we indicated in our public disclosures, Thomas Crooks had some online platforms where he engaged through email with a couple of individuals overseas, mm-hmm. and we chased those down literally to the end, and basically it was just that, online email accounts mm-hmm. overseas without any substantive communications.
What was Thomas Crooks' motive?
He, as has been publicized, had a basically hateful relationship with the United States government, talked disparagingly about both political parties, to include President Trump, and talked about the need to take matters into his own hands. And unfortunately, that's what he did.
They're claiming that the FBI director is saying there that the president is accepting of what he's learned so far from the FBI. Do you believe that? Because we've had to apply a little bit of pressure here in regards to that. We've heard the president's own son speaking out to the media prior to all of this. A big report from Tucker Carlson saying that they were also looking for answers. So do you think he so far is satisfied with what he's heard?
Well, I mean, he said that he kind of is. I mean, also he indicated months earlier that he wasn't very satisfied, that he, you know, had a lot of questions, as we all do, because they're quite obvious. And this is why I think this story's not going away, and why they keep having to come out and do these interviews, which is the problem. They're only responding because new information has come out from other sources, and not the FBI. The FBI has not come forward. If this is what they truly believe, that Thomas Crooks acted alone, then hold a press conference, show everything. If this case is pretty much closed, they say it's inactive unless they get more information, then let it all be laid out. But there's a key part, Brianna, right after that clip ended. I encourage everybody to go to your X feed and watched the full thing. Mm-hmm. And I just reposted it as well that Kash Patel gets asked, well, could Christopher Wray and them have done more, you know, to stop Thomas Crooks? And he says, oh, that's a question for them. But he says that they don't know why, what those decisions and why those decisions were made. Well, then you can't say during the Biden administration and during the run up to Thomas Crooks acting, they don't know why there was no one covering the roof. They don't know why President Trump was allowed to go on that stage when they knew someone was on the roof. They don't know why these communications were down with the Secret Service. Then you can't say Thomas Crooks acted alone, because even if that's your argument, and even if that's all the evidence you have, somebody let him get on that roof. I'm sorry. There is no way this 20-year-old kid was able to do this by himself. And if he was, somebody let him get on the roof. And it wasn't because it was sloped, okay? It wasn't, that's not the answer. And so this is the problem. You can't just run away from this and say, well, we looked at this, we reopened it. You need to do a whole new investigation. They know what the FBI is capable of, obviously, with mm-hmm. Russiagate and Arctic Frost and probably a lot worse things than even those cases. They need to get to the bottom and investigate the FBI, investigate the intelligence agencies, investigate the Secret Service, anyone who had authority over this, because there's a massive cover-up that we clearly know. And we need answers. And running to Fox News and running to former Fox reporters, and you're not getting a really hard-hitting interview here. There's no follow-up questions of substance. It's not going to cut it. And people are not going to be satisfied. I'm certainly not. And I doubt the president really is, unless he has probably more information, and that could be the case.
Yeah, that's likely the case there. And I know that the investigation itself is ongoing, but again, he didn't put all this information out. We only got that bullet point release right after the pressure was applied. You know, when Tucker Carlson reached out for comment before releasing his report, and he was, you know, saying, are these YouTube comments, you know, his? And do you have, you know, he followed up and he asked questions, and the FBI, instead of responding by saying, okay, yeah, this is what we have too, and outlining what they do have, they instead challenged Tucker and said, well, how do you know that's authentic? And that's completely disgusting. And then when I reached out to them before releasing the screenshots that I have, the document that I have, they didn't respond. And the same thing is going right now with Miranda Devine. Miranda Devine, obviously a very credible individual, was the one who really blew everything open with the Hunter Biden laptop story. She's doing her best to get these answers, these questions answered, and they're not doing their jobs at all to follow up. They're actually, I would say, mistreating Miranda. And it's quite strange, because everyone in the administration sits down with Miranda Devine to do interviews these days, and the FBI is completely blowing her off. They're not giving her information. And it's one thing to say, okay, it's an ongoing investigation, we can't give you much, but now that we've put out information out there, they were so quick to try to debunk what we've put out publicly that they released that as quick as possible. And like you just said, they gave it directly to Fox News, where there was no follow-up. And even Ken Silva saying, where's that interview that Fox News apparently did with these FBI officials, because they haven't released the full 1 hour interview. They're only putting out little snippets, and the American people would like to see that. They haven't done that either. So we're sitting here wondering why the FBI isn't being transparent. And the director himself, we played a little bit of that clip too with Ken Silva as well prior to you coming on, but they're sitting here and saying that we've given all of this out to the American people, but that's garbage, because they only gave it out after the rest of us put it out there. And it's pretty disgraceful, because the FBI director himself continues to allow his comms team to say that this is false media reporting, when in fact a lot of it is truthful, and we found more falsehoods in their own reporting rather than ours. And so I get very aggressive and defensive about that issue, but it's just not fair to do the American people. We want to know what happened that day, and we're not trying to be a bunch of conspiracy theorists. We want the facts, and unfortunately we have to force their hand in order to get it, and that's just kind of where we are right now. I wanted to kind of pivot a little bit, though, Liz, and get to you to this topic, because this one's really important to us. It's in regards to James Comey and Letitia James getting their court cases dismissed. Obviously, Tisha James dealing with the mortgage fraud allegations, and James Comey dealing with the lying to Congress allegations that both of them were facing, saying that Lindsay Holligan, in fact, is not lawfully appointed to her position. That's what the judge is saying there, weighing in on that. it seems so insane that we're going to put this out there. We're going to say these things. But the reality of it is she was lawfully appointed. So what do you make of all of this? And do you put any blame right now on the DOJ? Because it feels like Pam Bondi, although she is appealing this decision, it feels like Lindsay Holligan was kind of just thrown into all of this and she's not receiving much in the way of support.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens next, right, to get a fuller picture. But there are some people that are concerned that, you know, was she left hanging out to dry here?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I mean, I certainly hope not. You are, on the other hand, fighting, you know, very corrupt court system, you know, with these judges that, you know, in many cases in this circuit, it's just a revolving door. They worked at the DOJ. They were prosecutors. They were U.S. attorneys. And it's all the same people. And so it's this lawfare and trying to get justice, true justice, when this is the system you have to go through is very difficult. And that's, you know, a very big shame. Yeah. I think the ruling is absurd, right? I mean, they're basically saying that nobody, it's not even, you know, they're trying to pin it on Lindsay Halligan, but they're basically saying he wasn't allowed to appoint anybody because after the deadline passed, right, for putting in an acting. And that's absurd. So they're saying that the president can't put any U.S. attorney in there of his choosing. So that's ridiculous. Luckily, I think they can bring the case, and I think that will be the test. They need to keep pursuing these cases no matter what, because there has to be accountability. There has to be some pressure on these corrupt officials. And everyone keeps alluding to, oh, there's this big, you know, grand jury down in Florida. I certainly hope so. I certainly hope it's going to be sweeping, because that has to be just the beginning. Our country will not survive. And it's the same thing going back to, you know, the Butler conversation. We have to get to the bottom of this. We have to have the full transparency and accountability, because they will do it again. I mean, they've been doing this for 60 years, okay? It's been, you know, more than 60 years with this same type of tactics, and we cannot let it continue. And it's by the grace of God that President Trump is back in there, and there's a golden opportunity to get real change. So that has to be the focus with our elections, and certainly with rooting out this corruption, which is very connected, by the way.
Yeah, it's very connected, and it's frustrating sitting on the sidelines. We do hope that there are some grand juries popping up. We've heard little whispers of that, but man, oh man, this accountability tour that I always talk about, it's not really off to the start that one was hoping. I know the rest of us, you know, over here were like, we wanted at least a mugshot, Liz. That's what I was really hoping for in all of this, at least a bare minimum. And I haven't yet gotten that here over at Infowars. I'm going to make for great merch. And so we'll continue to hope that that does happen eventually. But I want to shift gears a little bit, because a big story also happening yesterday. I mean, yesterday there was a bunch of bombshell reports coming out. This one's coming just straight from the Pentagon. The Pentagon has initiated an investigation into serious allegations of misconduct leveled by Senator Mark Kelly, who's obviously a retired Navy captain. Now, here's the interesting part in all of this. You know, we have the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, coming out this morning and, you know, throwing a little jab over at Kelly, because Kelly obviously trying to display that he's a patriot and he wouldn't commit what he's being accused of, sedition, and he's trying his best to combat those allegations. Pete Hegseth telling him that he's messed this all up, that this is actually wrong, and if they do actually call him back in, he's going to do a uniform check personally to check him out. But President Trump really isn't holding back either, and rightfully so, referring to all these Democrats as traitors, going off on Truth Social about this. Liz, this is very, very clear. This is very obvious to the rest of us that this is, in fact, it's an effort to make and create chaos internally, that if President Trump does give an order to create chaos within our service members to potentially think, well, should I carry this out or should I not? The reality is when these Democrats are now facing the cable news world and they're doing these interviews and they're asked, well, what illegal orders have you heard about? And then a single one of them could cite one illegal order as an example. So what do you make of all of this?
Well, it's exactly what you kind of laid out here, Brianna, which is they're trying to sow chaos and undermine the president in every way they can. And this is taking it to a really dangerous level. that we, you know, they keep upping the ante, right? And I've heard, I think Alex talking a lot recently about the Podesta plan and all this stuff that they really laid out in 2020, right? Of what they were going to do if it looked like, President Trump was winning. And of course he was winning and he did win, but they were going to challenge the electors. They were going to, you know, mobilize the military and do all of these things and, mobilize your secession. This is how they think. And this is what they plan. And it's disgusting and it's disturbing and it is seditious. I mean, for how many lives were ruined, for just showing up at the people's house and protesting a rigged and stolen election, you know, and they threw around the word seditious, conspiracy and all of that so much. And yet here you are, you have all these deep state members of Congress. You know, that's what they are. They're pathetic. They're a bunch of, you know, CIA and intel operators that now have been installed into Congress out publicly encouraging members of the military to refuse President Trump's orders. And let's just face it, they can't name an illegal order because there isn't one. But also they think his existence is illegal. They think his election is illegal. And they think it should be illegal for our entire system. They don't believe in our system, that he's actually elected by the people. It's insane. Everything is twisted. Yeah. And of course, what's really scary, I think here, Brianna, is they're laying the groundwork because they always accuse you of what they want to do. This is what they want to do. They want to issue unlawful orders and expect the military to follow them. So again, this is why we need accountability and really play tough with this. They should be investigated. If this is what they're saying publicly, what are they doing behind the scenes to undermine this administration and undermine the Constitution? Yeah. And that really needs to be answered.
Yeah, Liz, I think they're working overtime on doing just that. And by the way, while you were speaking, we actually just got an alert. The FBI has reached out to U.S. Capitol Police to arrange meetings with six members of Congress who were featured in that video. That's according to Fox News. That just happened moments ago. So obviously they'll be getting their FBI interviews, which I'm sure they're very excited about these days. We'll continue to follow that story as it develops, though. But Liz, before you go, I wanted to get your reaction to this soundbite because it's so insane. We're going to play clip 19 for you because Eric Swalwell is calling on vote by phone. Take a listen.
I want us to be able to vote by phone. I think every Californian
vote by phone.
Vote by phone. Yeah. If we can do our taxes, do our, you know, our, make our healthcare appointments, you know, make, essentially your, do your banking online, you should be able to vote by phone. Make it safe, make it secure, but it's actually already happening all over the United States. I want us to be a blue state that doesn't do just a little bit better than like Georgia or Alabama when it comes to like voting access. I want us to max out democracy. Also, as it relates to democracy, if you wait in line for 30 minutes or more, if you do want to vote in person, I think you should fine every county for every minute that a person has to wait longer. We have to be better, not just a little bit better than the other states. The DMV. I don't think Californians should have to go in person to the DMV anymore. I think we can do that virtually. I think you can have the DMV employees do it virtually, but that's a lot of real estate.
Is that the most popular position?
Digitize the DMV. Digitize the DMV.
Today, yeah.
We can modernize the state, and I look forward to, you know, bringing these ideas to Californians.
Shame on Swalwell for not giving Douglas Mackey credit, because when he started this idea of texting here in your vote, he got arrested for that. But it's absolutely ridiculous that Eric Swalwell is pitching this idea. We've got about 45 seconds, Liz. I'll let you react to what he's pitching there.
I mean, as if California's elections couldn't be more crooked, right? But this guy's such an idiot, yeah, too, though. It's like, even the CNN host was like, oh, really? By phone, you say. Oh, he's such a moron. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it, but I did think it was interesting that he put California up here with Georgia just behind it. And I think that's actually a pretty fair assessment for how corrupt both states' election systems are.
Yeah. No, Liz, I mean, you've been following this for quite some time now, and you know that our elections are not safe. They are not secure. And vote by phone is just so insane that even CNN's wondering, what the heck are you pitching here, dude? So it's been very interesting. Liz Harrington, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on the show. We look forward to having you on again very, very soon. So thank you for being here.
Great to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Folks, give her a follow on X, Real Liz USA. We got more coming up in just a few moments with Mark Mitchell. Don't go anywhere.
My fellow info warriors, we are having right now in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember, last year, when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people are like, well, we're not going to give them money. But, of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And, of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. It works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So do the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Walk on over here, folks. Hopefully, we'll have some peace going on very soon between Russia and Ukraine. We're still following that story, obviously, told you. The details are still being worked out by the White House, but According to one White House official, Ukraine has agreed to President Trump's peace plan. We're watching as it continues to develop. Of course, Russia has not confirmed whether or not they agree to it. There were some things that appears might have been omitted from the Ukrainian side of all of this. Likely means that Russia won't accept. But we're keeping our eye on that. But as things develop, we'll bring you the very latest. That statement coming moments ago from the White House in regards to all of it, just re-echoing that the fact that, you know, they're still in talks between Russia and Ukraine and the United States to finalize this agreement. So we'll keep all eyes on that. But I want to make sure we see everything in regards to COVID. This is one of the things that many of you at home still want answers to, and in regards to the vaccines. And there's a brand new poll that was just recently released by our good friends over at Rasmussen Reports. They're specifically asking Americans if they've had any side effects regarding the vaccine, if they've taken the vaccine, obviously. And millions of Americans did, in fact, experience vaccine side effects. I hate saying the word vaccines, because obviously didn't actually do what vaccines are supposed to do. So we'll just say jabs for now. But 60% of those vaccinated adults reported no side effects when Rasmussen Reports asked them. However, 26% say they had minor side effects, while 10% reported a major side effect from the jabs. Joining me to discuss and break down this poll is my good old friend, Mr. Mark Mitchell, who's been very busy these days, taking meetings at the White House, and then he's blessed us with his presence today on this show, so we're thankful for that. Mark, it's good to see that the White House brought you in. You are the only one who, especially because it's just Rasmussen Reports, done an incredible job at mapping out elections, and the only pollsters that have been truthful when it comes to predicting how the outcomes of these elections are going to pan out. So I'm excited to see if the White House brought you in on all of this. I'll get your first few minutes of how it was hanging out at the White House, what happened there, and then we can talk about this poll later. Spill the tea, Mark.
I don't know what tea there is to spill. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. It was great to go there, but it's probably the only time. Everybody's going to say, look, you see, here's my confirmation bias. Rasmussen Reports is a Republican pollster. And no, we're independent. And I think the way to look at us and why we went to Washington, D.C., is that we're kind of like the lobbyists for the voters, because every industry, every country has lobbyists, but really kind of the voters don't. Even the think tanks now have kind of been weaponized against these people. So when Rasmussen's going to the White House, it really is because the White House was interested in what Americans think. And I think we all, over the last couple of weeks, have kind of been feeling like the White House has been out of sync with where people are right now. And I can understand why. I mean, politics is changing really, really, really rapidly. And if you go down and talk to people, I went to the RNC. I spoke at another conservative organization, the Conservative Partnership Institute. Is that they're really confused about the reality that voters under 40 could vote for Donald Trump one year and then the very next year vote for a socialist. And I'm trying to help them see that, and it's because finally this system has systemed too much. It's gotten to the point where the music has stopped and people are frustrated with the current state of America. And Donald Trump knows this because on the campaign he was talking about the American dream and bringing back a golden age. Well, if you're going to bring back a golden age, that requires a lot of really drastic actions. And we've seen a lot out of the Trump administration. We haven't really seen anything out of the Republican Party. So the message was basically like, listen, Trump's numbers are okay, but you're going to lose next year unless something very drastic happens. And in my opinion, what that drastic thing is that the right needs to figure out how to address the growing socialist elephant in the room. And that doesn't mean to clutch pearls and point at it and call it names. It means to offer an alternative. And unfortunately, I don't think that's really possible with the Republican Party in D.C. And I hate to be reductive, but in my opinion, it feels like basically the Democrat Party is the party of big government and also businesses. And the Republican Party is the party of big businesses and also government. And, you know, people want a party of the people. That's all they're asking for. And what you hear is like, well, you know, the youth just aren't smart enough to realize that it's their fault that the economy sucks for them. No, it's because their entire future has been sold down the river by both parties. And in my opinion, the party that acknowledges that and has a real fix will win for a generation. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like the Republicans are very motivated by that possibility. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, the COVID polling is a really good example because, you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, there's the rest of the story. And so you could say, well, look, Rasmussen polled on the vaccines, and it says that 36% of people that took them had side effects, 10% major. Okay, well, I assumed that. Well, no, everybody in Washington, D.C. is covering their eyes and ears and doesn't want to hear that, because pharma is not going to back their campaigns if they go after the companies for lying about these vaccines and their safety record. And every single person in the polling industry ignored this. Nobody asked this question. Basically, three polls have been conducted about vaccine side effects. And we polled on all this other stuff, too, as you know, about it killing people. A lot of people think the vaccine killed people. Half of America, 56% of the electorate, says that it's likely the vaccines are causing a significant number of unexplained deaths. But Rich Barris and Rasmussen Reports, those are the only three polls that were ever conducted about vaccine side effect. Nobody from a think tank. Nobody from the Democrat Party, nobody from the Republican Party, literally nobody. And we did it out of our own bank account for the people. And it's horrifying. And guess what happened? Like, Rich Barris had clients pull. We got treated like, you know, we spent years wandering in the wilderness, essentially, everybody ignoring us and attacking us. Our advertising revenue went down significantly. They assigned fact checkers to us. They literally put, I mean, we've been put on ADL pages and stuff like that. Like, people did not like this. We were on the Global Engagement Center's list of top misinformation spreaders on Twitter just for asking a question, just for asking these questions. And everybody says, well, no, you know, Rasmussen, oh, it's a bias or blah, blah, blah. It would, like, prove me wrong. Take a couple $1,000, go to a poll and say, no, look, really, the vaccine is safe. Everybody says there's no side effects. They're not going to, and we all know why. So, again, the Republican Party, the party of big businesses and also the government, is not going to go after Pfizer. And so if they're not going after Pfizer, are they going to go after the corporatism, the corporate welfare, the concentration of power? Are they going to go after the way that, like, investment companies are helping drive up the cost of housing, which is a really big problem for voters under 40? No, they're just going to say, oh, voters under 40, they're stupid. They haven't been taught about how great conservatism is. Even though, like, the Republicans, like, aren't running on that. They're not running on restoring civic values in the education. I'm sorry. I'm just, like, getting frustrated. You got me all spun up about. And again, the reception was very good at the White House. And there are people there that know this. I talked to Susie Wiles and JD. They are trying to make a change. And I think we can see that there have been some message changes out of the White House. But in my opinion, desperate times call for desperate measures. In 2016, what we saw is that Trump did very well being Trump. There was a cult of personality. Everybody liked that he was chaotic, and everybody was really impressed that he was racking up accomplishments. But we need a systemic answer for the problems in this country now. This isn't a cult of personality anymore. It's a cult of, like, need, of desperation. And so, again, they've done a lot of stuff. But to come out and say, well, here is the problem affecting America. The Republican Party sees you. We understand your complaints because this problem is causing your complaints. And then saying everything we are doing is going after this problem. You know, obviously, Donald Trump was elected in part because people were upset with things like Ukraine and the forever wars, right? And it's great that he's bringing peace, but my advice would be to just get Ukraine out of the news as fast as possible, or explain how, like, Washington, D.C. and the corporatist system and NATO and all of these forces have been drawing the energy of the government away from solving the people's issues. We're getting this done for you Americans. This isn't about helping Ukraine gain lost territory. It's about solving the problems of Americans. It has to be single-threaded on that. Because, unfortunately, the Democrats will win on a socialist vibe. They will win. You know, socialism actually sounds pretty good. People don't really care about history when they can't buy a house.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to bring up too, Mark, because the reality is we have the White House apparently pushing for 50-year mortgages, which is so insane for most average Americans to think about that, young people to think about that. I mean, that means you're never going to own your home. You're just going to keep, you know, continuing to pay into this. And that's just, I guess, the band-aid to fix what's going on right now, how the affordability crisis has gotten so far out of hand. Now, I get it, right? Because what are they going to do if they bring down the home cost pricing on all of these homes? The boomers are going to get a massive loss. But the reality of it is most average Americans who are in their 20s and 30s can't afford a home right now. The pricing has become so outrageous, and it's boomed over the last few years.
Yeah.
And so I think most people, especially my age, I mean, we're trying our best to be able to stay afloat. But the reality of it is we don't have much. We don't have much of a reason these days to vote for Republicans when it comes to this, because Democrats are saying, hey, listen, we understand the affordability issue here. You have Zoe Rand-Mondani who's coming into the White House and saying, I want to work on affordability with the president. But his idea of affordability is communism, and it's not the actual way that we believe it. But if you're so desperate, you know, I lived in New York. I was miserable. I was working two jobs, 6-7 days a week, and I was barely able to stay afloat. And I lived in a basement apartment. It was so bad for me. And I understand that this was like an effort to get out of all of this. But I think a lot of people are at a dead end, and they live in that type of situation, especially in big cities like New York. And they're like, well, this is it for me. I need to vote for someone who cares about these issues. And there's only one person speaking to that. And I think that's why, you know, your other poll here, 39% of Americans, or the voters you've polled, say the U.S. is headed in the right direction. I mean, 39% isn't very good. And I believe you guys have had higher numbers.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the big news, too, is the way in which that has collapsed among the younger voters.
Yeah.
And so what was weird in that I didn't really notice any sensitivity to this at all when I went to Washington, D.C., is that Donald Trump had a 60% approval rating with voters under 40. That is nutso. That should have been like the catalyst of a major political reorganization in the Republican Party. We did something right for once. Like, what was it? We need to do more of that. And so the under 40 approval rating of Trump went from 60 to 35%. It was 35 to 40% on election day, just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so it's not hatred, but they lost the zeal of those people. I think they thought they were getting something. And of course, it was the system being dismantled by Doge. And then the Right Direction numbers were very similar to that. Donald Trump set Right Direction polling records. We came on InfoWars and talked about that. Mm-hmm. It was wild. We had 37 weeks of consecutive Right Direction polling above 40%. And the prior record was 7 weeks, and that was also during the Trump administration. It was when the labor market was starting to heat up right before COVID. But then the other thing is that I just looked it up. The 18 to 39-year-old Right Direction number is the lowest right now. It's 34%. It was 48%. I think we had 50. I think we had over 50 among voters under 40 back in the spring, because they said, you know what? Trump is finally going to drain the swamp. He's finally going to hold these corporations accountable and get rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. And I think it was like basically a soft rug pull. His numbers have just gone down since then. And so for 18 to 40-year-olds going from the highest Right Direction number to the lowest Right Direction number, it kind of explains why they're trying, you know, Mamdani. Mamdani's got a 62% favorability rating among the Zoomers right now. And again, they don't want to hear about socialism. They don't care about this. And it's really weird to me is, like, as a political pollster, what I should be doing is testing policy responses. Like, hey, we're going to write a new bill. The Republicans want to change the way the country works. We're going to pass new good legislation, and we have two components of this, and is this one better or is this one better, and which one's going to win and which one's going to be better for the people. And instead, I live in this clown world where I go on YouTube and your average like talking head knows more about politics than every single Republican I met in Washington, D.C. And it's not a joke. I just pinned on my Twitter account. People can go check it right now at Honest Pollster. Mm-hmm. Shoe on head. She's one of the people that I follow as a weather vane about where the youth are at. She's not a Republican. She's not a Democrat. And she just wrote a brutal takedown of the Republican Party and why the youth are going to socialists now. And she's pretty brutal about the Democrat Party, too. But it basically comes down to that, like, their problems are not being solved right now. And I would, like, plaster this in every think tank in Washington, D.C. They just have no idea, like, literally no idea. Walk into the halls of the RNC and they're like, we have the right platform. We're not changing one iota because it's the right one. We just need to vote harder. Well, you guys are going to lose. And I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so funny that you actually bring that up because I do have a video from her, clip 7. We could actually play that. I was actually planning on playing a video from her earlier today because I found her content. My first time finding it, and I'm surprised because she's got a massive audience, and she's actually hilarious, but she's calling out both Pam Bondi in this one and Israel. Take a listen.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Vote for us. We'll release the Epstein files and finally drain the swamp. Awesome. Finally, justice. Here comes the Epstein files phase 1. We got all your favorite celebs here. Don't you think that's a little tacky? I mean, like, this is an international child trap. The Epstein files are on my desk. Oh, that's great. That's great. That's what we've been waiting for. Well? Oh, they don't exist. Wait, what? Yeah, the Epstein files don't exist. They're a Democrat hoax. But you just said, hey, what the fuck? That's my wallet. Sorry, Israel needs new weapons. Bye. What do you want, Democrat? Vote for us. Why? What do you have to offer? Hey! That's my wallet again! What are you people doing? Sorry. Israel needs new weapons. Bye!
So she does a great job. If you don't follow her on X, I don't know how I didn't follow her sooner, but she's amazing. I'll just let you weigh in on this, Mark, because like I think, as you could see here, most Americans have had enough of our money going over to Israel, other countries as well, rather than funding what we need funded here in the United States, and also, obviously, the BS nonsense that the AG continues to feed us.
Well, we're both probably going to get labeled anti-Semites now, just for pointing out the humor of the situation. Yeah. But the reason that you haven't heard about her, I mean, I followed her for other stuff. Like, she doesn't talk about politics, really. Mm-hmm. She goes after, like, the dating scene and, like, all these other things, that, you know, entertainment, I guess. She's done 3 or 4 videos on politics, but they're spot on. My point is that this is relatively reflective of the same kind of thing I hear out of other young influencers. And if you look at YouTube, I think it's a reflection of the fact that they are not conservative, but they are on the right. Like, there is something that is not leftist about these people, because YouTube also rebelled against the all the woke garbage and won the culture war back in the early 2000s, like during the Biden administration. And I think that's one of the reasons that Donald Trump won. And I don't even think people understand that at all. You know, because if you look, there was a groundswell of support for Joe Biden. We could say fraud, fraud, fraud. There was obviously a lot of fraud. But in the polling nationally, Joe Biden was still up between 1 and 12 points. I mean, the polls were all over the place. It was mass formation. It was a really tough election, right? But he did motivate millions of more people to go out and vote. And a lot of it was because people were afraid. They want, you know, they wanted a return to normalcy. They wanted some type of like order. Mm-hmm. And they found out in 9 months that Joe Biden was not the answer. I mean, it was, we talk about buyer's remorse. That's the biggest political example ever. He went from the most votes in history to being booed and chanted at in every single football stadium around the country in just 9 months. And around that time, people rebelled against the LGBT nonsense. People rebelled against all of the message and media. And the youth zeitgeist became this, in my opinion, rebellion against the global homo system, of which the Republican Party is unfortunately a part. Well, who is not a part of it is Donald Trump. And so his numbers, he immediately, we had him down. If you look at the average of our November polling, we had Trump down 6 points. He was winning by 10 to 12 points in every matchup that we ran in 2021 and 2022. Everybody was just like, nope, I see the matrix now. Donald Trump's got to come in and just wreck that system. Yeah. And he kind of ran on that too. And they did their psyops and they got Kamala Harris to tighten the race quite a bit. And they threw a lot of billions. And those people could say, oh, well, the movie stars don't matter as much anymore. Well, they took a 10-point Trump win and made it a 1.5-point Trump win. And that was, you know, it was a close thing, closer than it should have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the mind games still work. But now here we are. And it would appear that the throne is comfortable. It would appear that Donald Trump is spending time around probably the wrong people in order to actually deliver on systemic change that America now needs. It's not an option anymore. Yeah. And, you know, the window's closing.
Yeah, Mark, well, we got a few more minutes left. I want to make sure we got to this because I think the American people are concerned. They can unify about one issue, and that's inflation. And you guys have a poll that highlights just that. 81% of the American adults that you guys have polled are concerned about inflation. Now, this is very important because we get closer, obviously, to Thanksgiving just being a couple of days away. I know a lot of people are upset about the food costs. You know, turkey's about the same as they were last year, but beef is absolutely through the roof. You know, I keep talking about my rib roast. I look forward to the sale every year. It used to be about, I think it started off at like $3.99 a pound, and now we've worked our way up to this year, all the shops by me are about $7.99 a pound. And it's really just unrealistic for most people who have a big family that they're looking to feed these days. I don't understand how they could afford it. But, you know, Trump telling the DOJ, the antitrust division, to go look into it and see why beef prices haven't come down. But people aren't really feeling the cut at the checkout line these days at the grocery stores. It seems to be significantly high still. What do you make about the inflation issue, though?
So people think that prices are a problem. And when you poll on them, it's always number one. And they say, oh, it's affordability crisis. But you have to use the polling to go into a deeper root cause. And it's things like, well, 75% of voters under 40 think housing prices is a crisis, and a significant chunk of them think they'll never own a house, and, you know, the employment situation and all these other things that and so when Donald Trump and his administration look at the polling and say prices and then take it quite literally, in my opinion, that's not the winning play, because we're talking about systemic change. And we all know deep down that our system loves inflation. And so just stopping it means it's like, okay, well, you've contained the house fire to like one room, but your house is still burning down, right? And so you can maybe lower grocery prices somewhat, but the issue is that wages have stagnated for decades and people aren't getting the high paying jobs because all the jobs have been sent overseas and the corporations buy the houses and all of these other things. There's been wealth hoarding with the fewer and fewer corporations driving the significant chunk of the stock market, and with like 10% of the population owning 93% of the wealth and financial assets. You know, a lot of it's the boomer generation has hoarded a lot of wealth. So we did poll on inflation, and it is a big issue. But in that very same poll, is the price of gasoline now higher or lower than it was 6 months ago? Now, gasoline is objectively significantly cheaper than it was. We all know that, right? But only 33% of the country says higher, and 33% of the country says higher, 29% says lower, 33% says about the same. Well, and so here's the situation. The average American only spends 2% of their income on gasoline. And so you can objectively lower the price of gasoline, but you haven't gotten any credit for it because there's still an affordability crisis caused by corporatism and the uniparty global homo kleptocracy, essentially, you know, this oligarchy. Yeah. I could throw as many words as I need to at this problem. We all know that there's a major problem and the Republican Party is part of it. And so if the Republican Party can't fix this, the Democrat Party will. You already see Alyssa Slotkin out there talking about the housing price crisis. Well, my feeling from talking in the White House is that they kind of want to keep housing prices high. They don't want to endanger that valuation that a lot of Trump supporters have built in their homes. And if the right's not going to go there, the Democrats are going to come up with a big government solution because they're the party of big government and also corporations. Yeah. So drastic change. I don't know how hard this is. The polling said it. We polled back in the fall. What do voters want? Massive change. What do they not want? Business as usual in Washington, D.C. It's like an 80-20 thing. They just have to deliver on that. And, you know, they're not going to.
Yeah. I mean, Mark, the growing demographic here is the one that probably is going to be voting for cheaper housing in the next big upcoming election. And so we hope that they make that a top priority for themselves. Mark Mitchell, thanks for all the incredible work you do. We appreciate it, folks. If you're not following him already, I don't know what you're waiting on. Head on over to X and give him a follow at Honest Pollster. The White House relies on you. We all rely on you, Mark. So thank you for your time. Of course, we appreciate it.
Great to be here. It was awesome you had that shoe on head video. That's great. I know. Good job, Brianna.
It was right on deck. I saw this one this morning. I couldn't stop laughing. So it was a great timing, Mark. Thank you. All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we're getting our Black Friday sale on a little bit earlier. So head on over to the shop. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements, plus 25% off on apparel. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get your Christmas shopping started a little sooner before it's too late.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton, and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to theallyshowstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. It ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit theallyshowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free that are the top apps, just the last few months we launched it, folks at Big League, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
Journal. We're excited that you're joining us as we get ready to kick off the third hour of the show. It kind of flew by as we make our way into the third hour. Of course, Raw Egg Nationalists will be joining us in the next hour. I'll also be joined by Justin Goodman over at White Coat Waste. Now, there's a lot going on over there in regards to making sure that we don't test, medications and do all these experiments on animals. And he has been the leading force behind shutting all that down. So I look forward to having him on today. Talk about a massive victory. But also there's some more stuff that they've uncovered, and that's worth your attention. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But first, I want to make sure you heard this clip because it has to do with Campbell Soup. There was a local news report regarding Campbell Soup, and apparently it is a maybe possibly disgruntled employee, if we're going to be fair and transparent there, who had recorded apparently an executive. And ultimately, they're saying that the meat that's in their soup, well, it's not real, according to them. Take a listen to the allegations they're facing in clip 9.
I'm Ty Steele.
I'm Kimberly Gill. Those allegations are now at the center of a lawsuit claiming the company's vice president went on an hour-long tirade attacking the company's products and employees before taking aim at its customers.
And the former employee recorded it all. Eric Erickson shares that recording and what the company is saying about it.
We have shit for f***ing poor people. Who buys our shit?
And that's just part of an over an hour long rant, says former security analyst for Campbell's, Robert Garza of Monroe.
I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's so healthy. Now that I know what the f*** in it, even in a can of soup, I look at it, look at me, pop, bioengineered meat. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer, you?
The recording, allegedly, of Campbell's VP and Chief Information Security Officer, Martin Bally.
He has no filter.
Bally, along with another supervisor and Campbell Soup Company, named in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The suit claiming Bally made racist remarks, admits to coming to work high, and Garza fired for coming forward.
What do you think about the things that he was saying?
Oh, just pure disgust.
Garza says he usually worked remotely for Campbell's headquarters based in Camden, New Jersey. But thinking he'd be discussing his salary with Bally, he says the recording taken in person at a restaurant.
Movies on another thing. They couldn't think for the f***ing like you don't f***.
Garza says he felt sick after the rant, deciding to go to his direct supervisor in January, keeping the recordings to himself.
He had never had any disciplinary action. They had never written him up for poor work performance.
Garza says no one at Campbell's ever followed up, and it's taken him 10 months to find a new job, calling the way the canned soup company handled it simply terrible.
they have a motto, you know, like we treat you like family, you know, here at Campbell's, you know, come work for us, you know, we treat our employees like family. That's not the case.
We did just receive a statement from Campbell's. It says, quote, if accurate, the comments in the recording are unacceptable. They do not reflect our values and the culture of our company. We are actively investigating this matter.
As you can assume, this is why I left local news. If they had me finish up a news package by eating the product that we just declared has fake meat in it, I would have resigned on the spot. But there she is, ready to go with her Campbell's soup. By the way, the company saying that if this is true, I mean, the employee just said you were given all of this, so what the heck's going on here? Wouldn't you have had time to figure out if this is real or not? And you know who your employees are and what they sound like when they're speaking. So we'll continue to watch this story as it develops. But most importantly, bioengineered meat. That sounds absolutely disgusting. And obviously, he's got no respect for his customer base either. But man, you got to really know what you're eating. If you go to the shelves these days and look at the back of these items, most of the time, they'll tell you what it is. And I bet you, if you look at Campbell's soup, I haven't looked in a while. Haven't had that since I was a kid. Thanks, Mom. I didn't know it was bioengineered meat, and now I'm deeply, deeply concerned, and I hope that's something new that they just started, or else my whole childhood has been ruined. Folks, we got a whole packed show for you, still going on in the third hour of the program. Raw Egg Nationalist joining us. He's been working on a lot of MAHA stories over at Infowars.com, so he's going to be detailing that for us. Plus, Justin Goodman is joining us because he's all about protecting animals from being tested when it comes to drug manufacturers and more, and he just had a massive victory. So he'll be joining us to outline just that. So a lot more ahead. Do not go anywhere. The American Journal has more to unpack in just a few moments.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour of the program. We're kicking that off right now. A lot going on, and we're trying to, you know, keep your attention, too. We obviously have been covering extensively what's going on in regards to Ukraine and Russia, the peace deal that might actually be coming finally to an agreement. Ukraine, apparently, according to reports, has agreed so far to the plan that President Trump has brought forward, but Russia has not agreed to it yet. The White House saying that they're still working on both sides of this and have not yet confirmed, but White House officials telling the media that, yes, there is a Ukrainian approval to this so far. So we're getting closer because obviously President Trump did apply a lot of pressure to the Ukrainian side, saying he got until Thanksgiving to accept my peace plan. And obviously they are feeling the pressure, but Ukraine taking out a lot of key elements to this, that is very likely that Russia will not accept. And so we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course, all day on InfoWars. But most importantly, also, we're following another story, and it has to do with Doge. Now, there was a report that came out that Doge was no longer in existence. It was shuttered about 8 months sooner than expected. And then there's also people now coming out saying, no, it's not completely gone away, that each department is opening up or has their own Doge division. Do you really trust these departments to investigate themselves? I don't. But again, there's a lot more details coming out. Joining me now to discuss is Raw Egg Nationalist. He's been covering this story over at Infowars.com, and he joins us now to detail the very latest regarding Doge and if it's making a comeback or not.
raw egg nationalist. Thank you for being here, my friend. We're excited to have you on. I want you to walk us through this latest report because there's a lot of back and forth. Doge is no longer, no, Doge is changing a little bit. What are you hearing on the very latest?
It's good to be back with you, Brianna. So yes, it looks like Doge is no more. That's, there have been reports. There was a Reuters report where they spoke to, somebody at the Office of Personnel Management, and he said, look, yeah, Doge just doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's done its job. We're taking over the main functions of Doge. They're being incorporated into other departments, but mainly the Office of Personnel Management. Elon Musk stepped back from Doge months ago. And then, of course, there was that spectacular blowout where he and Trump were accusing each other of various things, including, you know, being on Jeffrey Epstein's, Lolita Island and, Pedophile Island, whatever you want to call it. So it's not clear at the moment, but there are, individual states now, including Florida, are creating their own versions of Doge to audit state finances and state government. So that's one potentially positive development, but it's all up in the air. It's not clear. There are mixed messages, conflicting signs. And it's quite hard to know actually really, what kind of effect Doge has actually had. I mean, there were big claims in the summer that, Doge had managed to clear something like $180 billion in savings, cost cutting, you know, which amounted to something like, I think, $1,100 per taxpayer in the US in terms of savings. But actually, that hasn't really been verified. I mean, that's a claim that Doge made on its website, but it's hard to substantiate whether that's true or not. So, at this stage, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know. That's the simple answer. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's the important angle to all of this because they haven't really been out there telling us what's going on and what's the very latest on it. So that's the part that's been kind of frustrating to deal with. And again, there's no real, right, they're saying that they're cutting all the spending, but there's nothing happening legislatively or even at the DOJ level to investigate what Doge has uncovered. Maybe that they're doing investigations, but it's nothing that's led to anything of substance. We don't have any arrests. We don't have any types of claims that are being made by the DOJ right now. And so although they'll probably, if we were to ask, tell us they are looking into it like they always do, there's nothing of substance happening here. And it's incredibly, I'll just say, disheartening to see all of the hard work that was done by these great employees of Doge just kind of fall flat here. So I think a lot of Americans, it was one thing that we were able to all get behind, but unfortunately now I think a lot of us are really, really upset because nothing has come of any of this.
One thing, though, I think that's important, Brianna, is that Doge really did expose the extent to which the U.S. government was, maybe not a Ponzi scheme, but was a scheme actually to divert U.S. taxpayer money overseas. You know, the whole USAID thing. I mean, USAID was shut down, but also just exposing the level of deceit and fraud that was taking place within the U.S. government, the amounts of taxpayer money that were being sent abroad for the most insane schemes, the most insane, you know, sort of like, you know, transgender theater groups in Kazakhstan and all this, you know, stuff that's scarcely believable, but it was real. And hundreds of millions, billions of dollars were being shipped abroad to pay for this kind of stuff when actually, you know, that money could have been spent at home. So even just exposing the level of corruption, the staggering level of corruption and extraction from the U.S. taxpayer, I think that was a very, very, very noble thing that Doge did. And even if, you know, the Doge savings aren't codified, if there isn't a kind of legislative push behind it, which there should be, and I would really like there to be, then at least Doge has showed the American people, look, this is actually how corrupt government has been. And I think that's a real service in and of itself.
Yeah. No, it truly, truly is. And it's frustrating. I want to see those NGOs be brought to justice because there was allegations. Many have accused these NGOs of funneling a lot of the money back to politicians who continuously gave them the funding. And so I'd like to see the digging into that because that is our money. And it shouldn't be involved in any of that, of course. But I want to kind of switch gears a little bit because you also had a story that I didn't see anywhere else in regards to Antifa members being convicted of the first ever terrorism prosecution. You've outlined this over at Infowars.com, where five of these members have been convicted on terrorism offenses for their part in an ambush attack that took place in an ICE facility in Texas on the 4th of July. I mean, this seems like this, I didn't even know this happened this quickly in regards to bringing them forward to face justice and to have their criminal trial. What is the latest on this? This is a bombshell.
Yeah, this is good. So, Andy Ngo, did actually report on this. So I was following some of his reporting on this. He's been a very, very, he's been a great voice on Antifa, investigative journalist, you know, really going almost, you know, deep undercover, actually, and putting himself at risk. He had to flee the US to the UK because he was receiving so many threats, credible threats from Antifa. But yes, this is a good development. So five Antifa members have, accepted a plea deal. They pled guilty to terrorism charges to avoid life sentences. So I think they've got sentences of about 14, 15 years in prison for this attack that took place, a planned attack that they planned using encrypted messaging apps. They were circulating surveillance photos. They dressed up in uniform. They took weapons. They attacked an ICE facility in Texas. And they've finally been brought to justice for it. And there are, I think, nine other Antifa members who are currently facing charges for this attack. So it's the very first sign, really, that the Trump administration is taking Antifa as a terrorist group seriously, which is what they are and which is what people have been saying for a long time. I mean, you know, you've got people in the mainstream media, leftists, saying, oh, Antifa doesn't even exist. Antifa is just, it's just code for, you know, people who don't like fascists. Well, actually, as this trial shows, Antifa is a terrorist organization. It is divided up into recognizable groupings, cells like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like other terrorist groups. It functions in the same way as other terrorist groups. And hopefully, with President Trump having designated Antifa now not only a domestic terror organization, but also overseas branches as foreign terrorist organizations like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, then perhaps what we're going to see, and I really do hope that we see this, is a broader push by the DOJ actually to break up this terrorist organization nationwide. We need more prosecutions. You know, these people are the radical foot soldiers of the left. They dox, they intimidate, they assault, they even murder people. And they have to be brought to heel, because otherwise they're just going to continue to be emboldened. They're going to continue to do things like attack immigration facilities. And, you know, when you have a situation like in 2020, the summer of Floyd, and you have the backing of the Democrat Party, the official backing of the Democrat Party, then, you know, they went to work on a national level, and they terrorized cities right across the nation and brought the nation to a standstill, and probably actually helped decide the fate of Donald Trump's re-election campaign. So the stakes are very, very high, but this is an encouraging sign. This is potentially the first step of towards more prosecutions and the eventual breakup, perhaps, of Antifa as a group.
Yeah, and that's very important. And so we're excited to see that there's some type of movement on this. It's a very important issue, of course, and we'll continue to follow it. But that is great, great news. I want to switch things up, though, to the MAHA movement, because there's a story that I actually haven't seen anywhere else, and you've actually covered this one. So I want to hear your take on it and get some more information about how microplastics are actually really maybe possibly more to blame than cholesterol when it comes to heart disease. Now, obviously, so many Americans are going to be very curious about this because, again, we talk about it here on InfoWars, microplastics, for years now. But the cholesterol angle, that actually might be more to blame, is quite interesting. Give us all the details on that one.
Yes. So this is a very, very interesting study that was just released. It's a rodent study, so it's not a study of humans. But what they did was they showed that if you expose rodents, if you expose rats to microplastics at concentrations that are environmentally relevant, so that means concentrations you'd find, you know, in the world, normal kind of background concentrations, then actually it speeds the development of arterial plaques, which are these build-ups inside the arteries that eventually clog the arteries and reduce blood flow to the brain or the heart, leading to either a heart attack or a stroke. So the researchers actually were able to demonstrate, look, there is a link between exposure to microplastics and the early stages of heart disease. Now, there was another study that was done last year where researchers looked at samples from plaques taken from humans who had heart disease, and they discovered that I think it was 58% of the plaques had microplastics in them. So the actual tissue had microplastics in it. And those who had microplastics in the plaques, in their, you know, in their arteries, I think it was the neck artery, were something like 4.5 times more likely to have a heart attack, a stroke, or die within 36 or 34 months. So there's already there's a growing body of research suggesting a clear link between exposure to microplastics and heart disease. The cholesterol thing is interesting, of course, because cholesterol, the lipid heart hypothesis, as it's known, has been linked to heart disease for decades, and it was the dominant explanation. You eat saturated fat and cholesterol in your diet, it clogs up your arteries, you have a heart attack or a stroke. Well, that's actually largely been debunked now. I mean, it was bad science in the beginning, and the reason that it was accepted was largely because actually it had money from margarine manufacturers and food groups like Procter & Gamble. But it was the dominant explanation. It's been debunked. And now, so what we're doing really is looking for actual real explanations for what's causing heart disease. And it looks like our growing exposure to microplastics may be one of the principal causes. I say one because I don't think it's just one thing that is causing heart disease. I think that we're exposed to a wide range of things that are potentially aggravating and causing heart disease. Endocrine disrupting chemicals, stress, I think in and of itself has an effect too, maybe other things as well. But this is a really, really promising lead, I think, in actually getting to the bottom of what causes heart disease. Because it's worth remembering, you know, in the 1950s, when we were told that the lipid heart hypothesis was right and we all needed to stop eating animal fats and animal products, we were told that heart disease would go away. But it hasn't. Heart disease is now the leading cause of death in the US, and it's the leading cause of death, I think, in most countries in the developed world. It kills 2,500 people a day in the US. So, you know, something needs to be done about this, because it is a serious problem. It's the leading cause of death in the US, and for decades we've been grappling with an explanation that is just actually totally wrong, and maybe ignoring other risk factors and getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that we hope the administration, Maha itself and RFK Jr. push as a top priority, because we're learning more and more about microplastics and the dangers that come with it. I know a lot of us, especially me, I had no idea for many years now, and have switched over all of my simple things like food containers over to the glass ones rather than the plastic ones. And, you know, everyone's starting to make these changes because we're learning about how dangerous these things really, really are. And so we hope there's more information put out about that. But, you know, we appreciate all the incredible work that you're doing over on Infowars.com, and remind our audience that your book is available right now for pre-sale, The Last Men, Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. Of course, you guys can head on over to Amazon and purchase that now. Raw Egg Nationalist, thank you for being here, my friend. It's always good to hear from you and all the incredible stories you're working on over at Infowars.com. So thank you for joining us as always.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Folks, we're keeping our eye on a lot of things, like I said. We are keeping our eye on the Larry Latest regarding that Ukrainian-Russian potential peace deal that we keep hearing about. We haven't gotten any updates regarding that just yet, but obviously about an hour ago, the White House coming out and confirming that they are still on talks with both sides. And there was one White House official that said, yes, Ukraine has agreed to certain key core terms to all of this, but not giving out specifics. So we're keeping our eye on that story. But I wanted to play you this very interesting clip. It has a lot of people finally talking about these issues that we've talked about on the show, but so many in the mainstream refuse to acknowledge. Tucker Carlson is calling out Republicans, and I want you to listen to this clip, clip six. Take a listen.
And on the Republican Party, which is almost to the point where it's just useless, and I'm going to have to oppose it because I hate them too much, but because they're such betrayers. But anyway, in the Republican Party, it's like, you a socialist? Are you from Mondani? No, not really a socialist. Just, I don't want any more dollar stores. I don't want high density housing in my neighborhood. I don't want any more fucking strip malls that nobody goes to. No more karate studios and vape shops. Like, how about no? Ooh, socialist? You don't believe in the free market? Well, cause you bribed a fucking county commissioner to build more garbage? You don't even live here?
Mm-hmm.
In a normal society, we'd like burn your strip mall down. But you can't do that here. You can't turn my women into prostitutes. Sorry, OnlyFans. And you can't destroy the landscape that I live in. No. How about no? That's not crazy, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, no.
And you can't take all my tax dollars and then stop, refuse to do anything about child molestation. Like, the whole reason you exist, county commissioners, is to protect my daughters from getting molested, but you won't because, like, why?
I think it's the frustrations most Americans have these days and how our cities, our towns are converting into what we never really wanted in the first place. Obviously, they're inching towards something that is a globalist movement rather than those who live locally. And I think most Americans are getting fed up. Republicans are not really, as you heard Mark Mitchell outlining too, not really understanding where the base is these days and what the American people truly do want. And Tucker Carlson echoing that same exact concern. I want to switch gears as well because there was a very enlightening clip. Get ready to get your laughter on, folks. Ilhan Omar is trying to defend Somalians who are just being accused of being fraudsters. There was a big press conference that was held yesterday, and they're trying to, I guess, shame the rest of us into, or try to shame the rest of us into not calling out the consistency here. That is, for many, many years, those who come to our country from Somalia are ripping U.S. taxpayers off. There is a long history of that, and they're hoping you're not paying attention. We're going to play clip 10 for you because Ilhan Omar has some allegations that she's outlining that she doesn't really probably have any facts to back up. Take a listen.
Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as a fabric of this nation. So not only are we not going anywhere, we are not going to allow anybody to make us feel less Minnesotan or less American.
Did you hear that? Well, apparently they're the fabric of this country. Hard pass, folks. That is not true. Fake news. The only thing that they contribute to this country are obviously a much significantly higher surge in our inbreeding stats. On top of that, our fraud that continues to go on, especially in the area that she represents. They don't want you to talk about that. We won't even get into IQ here because that would just be an insult, although it's truthful. There's only so much beating that these people can take, but the reality is that she's trying to lie to make herself feel better. They do not contribute anything to our country, and we'd be much better off if we just sent them all back. They all have an alliance. They all pledge their alliance to Somalia rather than this country, and we hear Ilhan Omar do it all the time. So again, fake news, we'll flag it. We'll be the fact checkers on that one, of course. But I also want to address this. We covered it yesterday. Clip 11 we're going to play for you. It has to do with Tyson Foods because I've been talking about it for quite some time now. Many of you probably are familiar with the fact that Tyson Foods has faced allegations that they are employing illegal aliens. Interesting enough, they deny those allegations repeatedly. Last year, they faced it back in 2024. But most importantly, a new video has surfaced. And we talked about it yesterday, how one of their plants is now laying off their employees, and they have 60 days until they shut that plant down. But listen very carefully, because they can't even listen to their own supervisor. They can't even understand their own supervisor because they don't speak English. Take a listen.
I'm trying to get out that door.
You will work for approximately 60 more days. Okay. You will not work tonight.
No, I will
pay you 4 hours. You will come back Monday, regular time. You're going to have a lot of questions. Next week, we'll be able to have meetings and answer your questions.
Okay, so obviously the employees over at Tyson Foods do not understand what's being said by their supervisor, and they need an interpreter. Again, Tyson saying they do not employ illegal aliens. I'm sure there's probably a term or verbiage to dance around they're going to try to do there. But again, they denied the reporting that came out in 2024, even Bloomberg saying that. And so we'll look forward to seeing what's actually going on over at Tyson Food. I'm sure our federal government will be involved, of course, regarding ICE. But again, this is insane that they can't even understand their own supervisor. They can't even understand their own supervisor. This was also that same report that Tyson apparently is denying. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have our Black Friday sale kicking off a little bit early. Give you a head start on that, of course. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements, plus 25% off apparel. With all your purchases, of course, you're going to enter in to potentially win a Jeep and $10,000 in cash. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is time to get your Christmas shopping started before we run out. We'll be right back with more.
This is the biggest show we ever run. It runs until Friday. Listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want free. So you can buy a supplement that's $20 and get one that's $40 for free. Did you hear that? That is insane. And there's a bunch of other specials running on top of it. We have an 80%+ reorder on these supplements. People love them so much. But I'm trying to get those of you out there that are on the fence, 99% of you, to go there and experience Irish Sea Moss. We got the strongest best. Experience our turmeric. It's the best. The products are so good. Our ultramethylene blue, our Shilajit, our Irish Sea Moss, our spike protein, pro cardiovascular, super formula, ultimate life force. Experience it all. This is game changing. Also, site wide, 25% off on all apparel. All these new incredible designs of t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, Christmas designs, you name it. It's all there. We will continue to fight. We'll never give up or back down or sell out, but we could give out without your support. So I want to salute those that have supported and humbly ask those that haven't. Are we not the tip of the spear? Are we not changing the world? I need your support. Plus, these are great products. This is a win-win. So get in here right now. We need your help. They have appointed a state receiver to shut us down. We've basically exhausted everything in court. The receiver from the state court says he's going to try to have an auction, but we don't know. It could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, but they say we should be closed by early January. Okay? Well, here's the deal. We have the Alex Jones Backup Network. That's funded by thealexjonesstore.com. But also, thealexjonesstore.com is funding InfoWars. Because if they have a real auction and the good guys are able to buy it, if they actually do that, unlike what happened in federal court, we'll stay here. It'll be great. So this is like we're on death row here, and we get the reprieve again. So that's the struggles. That's why supporting us now at this critical moment is more important than ever. Plus, the products are insanely good. Just do your Christmas shopping early with us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody that's going to buy anything should become a VIP. It's not even a commitment. You cancel any time for free. You get $30 to be a VIP each month. $40 instantly each month to spend the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should be a VIP. You just get special offers and special deals and $40 for $30. So you make $10 on your first purchase right there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support.
Step right up and behold a creation so powerful, so potent, it could only come from my secret vitality factory. Shilajit Gummies. Packed with ancient minerals and super-infused goodness, these little squares of power will boost your day faster than a fizzy lifting drink. Need that spark of pure imagination? Pop one of these into your mouth and feel the natural energy flow right through you. Visit thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the Vaseline Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the news world that we're trying to dive into. A lot of breaking news this morning and a lot more we want to understand. But there was a positive story that I wanted to make sure we got to because this one's a good one. And there's been a heck of a fight going on behind the scenes to protect animals. And so far, there's a major victory coming to the way of the White Coat Waste Project. This one specifically has to do with the CDC. The CDC is now saying they've given the directive to terminate all research involving animals. It's in a very new report that was just recently released, and we wanted to make sure we celebrated this big victory because our good friend Justin Goodman, the senior vice president of White Coat Waste Project, has been fighting this fight for quite some time now, and he joins us now to detail the very latest victory that they could place under their belt these days. Justin, thank you for being here. This is exciting news for you guys all because I know you work very, very hard to make this all happen. So you've just been handed this massive victory over at the CDC. I just want to get your reaction and get some details on it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for all the support over the years, Brianna. The promises made, promises kept from the Trump administration. We've been working all year long with the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Kennedy's team, to defund animal experimentation under HHS, which is the single largest funder of animal testing. No one could forget that Dr. Fauci's division of the NIH was under the Health and Human Services Department. And since the beginning of the year, we've been working successfully with the Trump administration and DOGE to defund as many of these labs as possible. And one of our priorities has been defunding transgender animal experiments. And earlier this year, when we exposed NIH funding for transgender experiments on monkeys, where they were giving the monkeys hormones and surgeries to mimic gender transitions in adults and kids, and then injecting them with mRNA, Secretary Kennedy immediately responded, contacted Laura Loomer, and when she issued the report and said, we are going to end all primate testing and I'm going to work with White Coat Waste to do it. And that's exactly what's happening. We recently were in touch with HHS and they informed us that they are shutting down the CDC's monkey labs, where there's about 200 primates currently held. And these monkeys have been used in experiments for HIV, hepatitis, smallpox, really horrendous stuff. And it's actually one of the laboratories that Dr. Fauci funded. And not only is the Trump administration now shutting down this laboratory, but they are also looking to retire these primates to sanctuaries. And for folks who have not followed our work for that long, back during the first Trump administration, this is exactly what they also did at the FDA. We exposed nicotine tests on primates at the FDA back in 2018. Trump administration shut those tests down and retired those primates. So President Trump and his team are picking up where they left off during the first administration, keeping their promise to taxpayers to cut animal testing, and we couldn't be more happy.
Yeah, well, Justin, I kind of want you to walk us through this transgender animal testing a little bit more, because I think this is so crazy. And by the way, good on Laura Loomer, because I know she's made this a top priority to go out there and to help save these animals. I mean, I post pictures of my dogs all the time, and she's constantly commenting and going back and forth. So I know she has a soft spot when it comes to animals, and it's great that the two of you guys are working together on this issue. We love to hear that. But I want to talk more about the transgender animal testing, because that seems insane. Can you give us a little bit more details on that specifically, too, as to what other experiments they were doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in December of 2024, so basically a year ago, end of last year, we released an investigation the Examiner published about how the National Institutes of Health under the Biden administration, including Dr. Fauci's division of the NIH, were funding experiments that basically created transgender lab mice, rats, and monkeys. And they did this by buying and breeding animals in these laboratories, injecting them, the female animals with testosterone, the male animals with estrogen, performing surgeries to either castrate them or remove their ovaries, all to mimic the gender-affirming procedures done to human beings to transition them from male to female or female to male. And they're doing it in lab animals. We testified at a congressional hearing earlier this year in February about those experiments. So not only were they giving them these invasive surgeries and hormone therapies, they were also doing things like injecting them with vaccines, burning them, shocking them. And in one case, there was $1 million NIH grant to transition lab animals and then give them overdoses of GHB, which is a party drug, a rave drug, to mimic the effects of chemsex, which is what people do. They get high on this party drug and then have sex at these raves. So they wanted to mimic that in transgender people, and the way they did it is by performing these experiments on lab animals. And that was a $1.1 million grant that we exposed earlier this year and that Trump and DOGE cut. People might remember that President Trump in March cited our investigations during his joint address, his first joint address to Congress as an example of waste. He said $8 million for transgender animals, this is real. And he was actually, not only was he absolutely right about that, the problem was way worse. We've identified about $250 million in NIH spending on these transgender animal experiments. So DOGE and the Trump administration have cut all of the grants that we know of that were funding these experiments. The most recent one that we exposed was the transgender monkey experiments, which were being conducted as a project between the University of Florida and the University of Wisconsin-Madison, being funded by Fauci's division of the NIH, where they were taking male monkeys, injecting them with female sex hormones, and then giving them mRNA injections. So that's when RFK jumped in, personally responded, told Gateway Pundit and told Laura Loomer, we're cutting these experiments. We are going to end all primate testing and we're going to work with White Coat Waste to do it. And he kept his promise. Just a few months later, here we are talking about how his CDC is wiping out all primate testing and looking to save the animals. I mean, that's a win for taxpayers and it's certainly a win for the monkeys locked up at the CDC.
Yeah, and this testing is unnecessary. It'd be one thing if I could, you know, make the argument that this is necessary testing that we need to do to help save actual human lives. Then, okay, maybe you'd have an argument there. But this is just absolutely disgusting that they'd be doing this in the first place. There's no real benefit to human lives at all. This is just, it's sick. It's absolutely sickening that they were doing this in the first place. And I don't even understand what the rebuttal would be. Have they ever given you a rebuttal, Justin, as to why they need to do this testing regarding transgender animals? I mean, I understand that they're operating and they're doing this now with children. They're pushing this with children. I wouldn't even want it to be done on children. We've advocated against that. But what the heck is the rebuttal on this to justify what they're doing here with U.S. taxpayer money?
It's a money grab, just like when the virus broke out in Wuhan, all of a sudden they needed to spend billions of dollars on pandemic preparedness experiments and gain of function. Animal testing is bad science, but it's big business. And there are mad scientists in laboratories across this country, people like Fauci, who are looking to exploit any public health issue to rake in more tax dollars. Animal testing is a $20 billion a year industry. So federal agencies like the CDC, where we've just shut down these monkey labs, are raking in tons of money. The National Institutes of Health not only brings in $50 billion a year into the agency, but then they're awarding that to colleges and universities, pharmaceutical companies across the country who are lining their pockets with taxpayer dollars and not providing any benefits, return on investment for the folks like us who are being forced to fund it. Mm-hmm. So these are, you know, the animal testing is one of the biggest boondoggles in Washington. This was a priority for the first Trump administration. We worked with them to end the FDA's nicotine test on monkeys, dog and cat testing at the Department of Veterans Affairs. We shut down the largest cat lab in the federal government during the first Trump administration. There were literally USDA employees flying to China, buying dog and cat meat at wet markets, flying it back to a USDA laboratory in Maryland, and then force-feeding cat meat to kittens in cannibalism experiments. That had gone on for decades at a cost of $22 million to taxpayers, and the first Trump administration shut it down. So that was just the tip of the iceberg. Now we're dealing with the transgender monkey experiments, but we've seen a lot of victories this year. CDC monkey labs being shut down is the newest one. The USDA ended a bird flu experimentation collaboration with the Wuhan Labs parent organization that we exposed earlier this year. The Department of Defense, Secretary Pete Hegseth and John Phelan of the Navy cut dog and cat testing, and Secretary Phelan banned dog and cat testing across the U.S. Navy. And, of course, we've shut down the transgender monkey tests, and we've got the NIH to commit to not renewing human fetal tissue experiments on animals where parts of aborted fetuses were being implanted into animals for these grotesque experiments. We just exposed that recently with a Breitbart investigation, and the next day the NIH said they wouldn't renew any of those grants. So we're making major progress here. Unfortunately, yeah, there are still some problems. The NIH is the outlier. They're the biggest funder of animal testing in the country. They're the worst offender. And unfortunately, they're lagging behind some of these other agencies in making progress.
Yeah, let's talk about NIH for a second, because you guys have another investigation that you just released on your website, specifically talking about how they're dishing out over $24 million in new grants to pharmaceutical companies for cruel and wasteful drug tests on dogs. Give us a little bit of insight on this one, because although we have some victories, this is one that we want to focus on as well.
Yeah, like I was just saying, the DOD ended and banned testing on dogs. The Department of Veterans Affairs under the first Trump administration already did that. But the NIH is funding more dog testing than any other agency. And our investigations have uncovered that, unfortunately, despite saying they were going to phase it out, under current NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya and his deputy Nicole Kleinstreuer, who is a Trump-hating, Fauci-loving holdover, they've not only been renewing funding for Fauci's animal tests, specifically his dog and cat tests, but they've been doling out tens of millions in new grants to colleges and universities. But also, the current NIH is funding dog testing at pharmaceutical companies. Why is our U.S. taxpayers footing the bill for R&D at pharmaceutical companies, not only for unnecessary testing, but for testing that these companies should be paying for themselves if they're going to then patent and profit from these products, and then we're going to put the bill for that in addition to giving them subsidies for their advertising so they get to write that off as well? Why are taxpayers being forced to foot the bill for all of that and then forced to pay for the drugs after we've paid for them to be developed and advertised? It's just obscene. It's absurd. It needs to stop. RFK advisor Callie Means promised earlier this year that the NIH would stop funding pharmaceutical R&D. So like RFK has been doing, we want the NIH to keep its promise to phase out testing on dogs and cats, and also to stop funding pharmaceutical R&D. Taxpayers should not be forced to pay for this.
Yeah, they shouldn't be forced to pay for this. And I actually wanted to get your take on this before you go, because as you outlined in the beginning of this interview, you discussed how there was great things that happened under the first time President Trump made his way into the White House's first term, and how he's continuing to be recommitted to that promise now in his third term, I would say. It's the second term, technically. But I'm a big conspiracy nut here when it comes to the election. But, I wanted to ask you about this. You know, when a new administration seems to come in, they tend to wipe out a lot of these great moves that have been made in regards to all of this. How do we laminate these victories so that even if it's a Democrat or somebody else who doesn't feel as passionate as the rest of us do when it comes to saving animals from this type of abusive and horrific testing, how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again?
That's a great question. And there's actually a great example from a recent victory under the Trump administration that kind of exemplifies this problem. During the first Trump administration, the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, worked with White Coat Waste to announce a historic plan at the time. They were the first agency to ever announce a plan to completely eliminate animal testing. They set a timeline. They said, this is back in 2018, they said by 2025, we're going to reduce animal testing by 30%. And by 2035, we're going to completely eliminate animal testing. Again, first time an agency ever did that. And we worked with Trump's EPA chief, Andrew Wheeler, who's now a volunteer advisor for our group, on that plan. Fast forward a couple of years, one of the first things the Biden administration did, the Biden EPA did when they got into office, was eliminate the Trump plan to end animal testing. They actually were getting lobbied by environmental groups that for environmental justice reasons, they needed to do more animal testing. And the Biden administration listened, and they got rid of the plan to end animal testing. We were able to get that plan put it back in place earlier this year with Lee Zeldin, who's a great champion for animals. We worked with him when he was a congressman, actually gave him an award for his efforts to help us end dog testing at the VA. That program that Trump put in place to end animal testing at the EPA ended up on the chopping block for political reasons during the Biden administration. So how do we avoid that happening again? We have to codify a lot of this in law. So, for example, we're working with Nancy Mace and other members of Congress, Paul Gosar, to defund transgender animal experiments permanently through the NIH spending bill and through a standalone bill called the Trans Mice Act. We're working on other legislation called the PAW Act to defund dog and cat testing permanently. So we need to codify a lot of this in law to make sure it's permanent. Otherwise, yes, with the political winds changing administration by administration, you can see some of this horrible and wasteful testing, the progress we've made reversed. And we definitely want to make sure that doesn't happen. Again, another example of that is first Trump administration was great on reducing primate testing. The Biden administration tried to increase the budget for primate testing in its White House budget every year by $30 million. Fortunately, we were able to stop that. But again, we don't know who's going to take the White House in the next administration and after that, and we want to make sure that they don't backtrack. So we use every tool in the toolbox. We put grassroots pressure on these agencies. We work with them behind the scenes. We work with the administration publicly, and then we do work with Congress to make sure that the wins we get stay.
Well, Justin, you're doing incredible work over at the White Coat Waste Project. And I want to remind our audience to go over and make sure you give it a follow. Give them a follow on X as well, because you guys are constantly posting your victories on X. And I think this is something that really is important and for the American people to kind of go through and understand. Justin, thank you for all your hard work. I know you've been working on this for many, many years now. And we do hope that we laminate these victories so that all of your hard work can't be undone, because this is a really important issue. So thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, I want to remind our audience to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're getting a head start on Black Friday sales. And so for this week right now, we've got buy one, get one free on all supplements. That's going to end on Friday. So you're going to want to head on over before we run out of stock, too, on a lot of these popular items. And make sure you stock up on your favorite supplements. And plus, we're also doing 25% off on all apparel as well. That's a good one if you're looking for Christmas gifts to stock up on. Go there now before we run out. It's not really an ugly Christmas sweater. It's actually a very nice Christmas sweater with all of your favorite left-wing hacks. You could get this sweater and then wear it to the holidays to really trigger those lefty relatives you might have in your family. I've got a couple, so I'm always looking for the opportunity to do just that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. There are plenty of items over there that will make great Christmas gifts. And you want to buy it before we run out. Okay, folks, I want to talk about just more lefties. Oh, this is the sweater. I'll be rocking this maybe tomorrow. Folks, I want to switch over, though, to talk about, well, keep it on the topic a little bit. Talk about the lefties. As you know, we highlight on this show all the time, DHS has been doing an incredible job with the limited resources they have at trying to get all of these illegal aliens and try to round them up. But there's obviously a lot of pushback that they get when it comes to these activists that don't want them deporting their criminal aliens. And we covered this story. Remember that woman who was shot because allegedly DHS accused her of trying to stop them while they were on their way to start doing some raids? And, you know, she was accused of, I believe, using her vehicle as a weapon, possibly trying to pin them in. It was a crazy, crazy story. But she's speaking out because ultimately what happened is DHS had opened fire on her and did shoot her. Now, again, I was told by DHS sources they actually put out a bulletin about this woman prior to them even interacting with her so that they knew that she was an active threat. They were accusing her, I believe, of doxing people, employees of DHS online, and that was one of their main pushes. Now, she is out here disputing claims regarding that, and she is trying her very best to make herself sound like a victim. She's disputing what DHS is saying, and it's important, again, that we play all sides to all of this. So I want you to listen to exactly what she's claiming to CNN and listen to how she's getting very little pushback on the claims she's making.
Can I show them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was shot in my arm right here, and then I went through my tricep, yeah. And then it grazed the side of my chest.
Reminders of what could have been Mary Mar Martinez's last day, October 4th. The Department of Homeland Security claimed she rammed a Border Patrol agent's vehicle in Chicago with her car before that agent got out and shot her multiple times. She says she was on her way to donate clothes until she saw what appeared to be federal agents, already becoming a familiar sight in Chicago's neighborhoods.
So I started beeping my horn. As a Mexican-American, first-generation USA citizen, I felt it was my responsibility to let my neighborhood know that ICE agents were near.
They turned out to be Border Patrol,
So I just got next to him and I was like, get out of here. And I was just like honking.
That's when she says they sideswiped her, contradicting Border Patrol's narrative.
They immediately stopped. I gotta go somewhere safe. I went to my furthest left, make sure that I wasn't gonna hit them. As I was passing them, they started shooting at me through the side.
The agent got out of his vehicle and shot Martinez 5 times.
It feels like it's still top of mind for you, right?
It's painful. Like, just to like talk about it, it's like, think about it, like just me remembering like what happened that day, it's like traumatic, honestly.
She was charged with forcibly assaulting and resisting or impeding a border agent and labeled a domestic terrorist by the Department of Homeland Security. And then, over a month later, in what became a critical court hearing, the agent who shot her, Charles Exum, testified the collision was more of a hit, not rammed. Then,
these text messages came out where he appeared to be bragging about shooting you. Read it, 5 shots, 7 holes, put that in your book, boys. You were sitting right there.
What type of agent brags about it? This is what the administration has out in the street.
For 15 years, I was a federal prosecutor. I worked every day with FBI, DEA, DHS. I have never come across an agent like that, and it's something that's embarrassing to me as a former federal prosecutor.
Thursday night, there was suddenly a major shift. The case was dropped, and at the request of the prosecution, despite the case being dismissed, DHS stuck to their original accusations.
On October 4th, Border Patrol law enforcement officers were ambushed by domestic terrorists that rammed federal agents with their vehicles. The woman, Marimar Martinez, driving one of the vehicles, was armed with a semi-automatic weapon and has a history of doxing federal agents. We will not allow domestic terrorists to attack our law enforcement. This was after you were cleared of these charges.
Where are they getting all this fake information from? I was just shocked, honestly.
While a gun was found in her car, it was never brought out. It was still inside a holster with the snap closed. She also has her concealed carry license, her attorney says.
They're still putting out these false statements that are disputed by their own people, right? Agent Exum testified that there was no ramming. I mean, he's the driver. He was there.
For Martinez, she's just happy this chapter is over with, but she can't avoid its reminders.
When you look at those, I mean, scars on your body, what do you think about?
I'm a survivor.
And it's not just the physical scars she lives with.
I don't want to remember that day. You're laying there at night and you're just thinking about it, like, what's going to happen? Like, it's really emotional.
All right, we'll jump in on this one because, again, so folks, I don't know how to feel about this. Again, she did have a permit to carry, obviously. That's well detailed there. DHS telling us that she was carrying a firearm. I would like to see furthermore those claims because, again, DHS was the one that was putting all this information out. But again, it's important to hear both sides of the story. Also worth noting that the reporter that you see there is the one that you probably remember. You might look a little familiar to you. He was the one who was reporting from the BLM riots, and they ran that fiery but mostly peaceful protest after a police shooting. It was a peaceful protest. Like, that was a peaceful shooting, of course. So again, I don't trust CNN, but it's important to have her allegations out there. And so you hear both sides of all of this, and I'll be reaching out to DHS to see what they truly think about all of this, because again, it is important for the truth to be pushed out there. So we'll see. I want to switch it over though to another soundbite that I thought was really interesting. There was a school that's being accused of, blocking ICE officials from being able to do their raids. And according to Eric Daughtry, who posted this up on X, he says that the school after school program is no longer in existence, that it's been shut down, it looks like. Now, this might just be because they're trying to make sure that those illegal aliens who are accused of being illegally here in the United States don't get caught up by ICE. But apparently, according to the report, and you're going to hear it yourself, in Charlotte, North Carolina, there was an after-school program that was allowing illegal aliens to shelter. This is the allegations they're facing, shelter inside the building. It has since been suspended. Take a listen.
We need more assistance down those, okay, at those entrances. Hi, Donald. This is Lily from Arbridge. I'm just calling because we had reports that ICE is probably on campus. We were wanting to see if we could
make rounds.
Inside, please.
This after-school program in East Charlotte has been a safe space for immigrant children.
Yes, in the front entrance.
But today there are reports that Customs and Border Patrol agents are approaching.
And I'd like people down at this entrance as well to just watch that door. Do
not. Staff rush to lock down the building.
They do not.
Now let me again remind you folks that ICE continues to deny that they actually do these raids on schools with children around. So it's interesting. We didn't actually see it carried out in footage, but those are the allegations they're facing. Folks, that does it for the American Journal today. Thank you for joining us. Alex is up next. So don't go anywhere. There's more, of course, to dig into.
Right now on thealexjones.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible Ultramethylene Blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the Colostrum Plus, the Bovine Colostrum Plus, the Irish Sea Moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the Ultramethylene Blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on Methylene Blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in Methylene Blue. When it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, so I run out, I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. It isn't something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like, it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.